Well, are we ready?
Apparently.
Hang on, let me see. Okay, I got my sparkling cranberry hand sanitizer, bottles of Elmer's Glue All, and
no, Gorilla Glue.
No, no, I don't have any hair. I can't do that. And my facsimile box of Kaboom. I'm ready.
The facsimile box of Kaboom?
Yeah, the only one I ever saw is going for like $700 on the eBays right now. That actually still has cereal.
Oh, okay.
The thing is when you're collecting cereal boxes, the cereal is secondary, at least was secondary to the box, you know.
So yeah, because really, now, cereal can rot.
Yeah. Now people are all excited because, oh, it's sealed and never been opened. And it's like, yeah, well, you got a box of rot.
Yeah.
So, you could even have them flat, you know, if you're careful and, you know, undo the glue on the flaps and flatten them. That's usually was the premier way of storing a
That's
collection
how I
like
do
that.
It.
Yeah. I actually have a Wheaties box of the first Twins World Series. That was never folded.
Oh,
I actually got it from the factory.
My ma got me one that had autographs on it, but I don't know if they were. I think they were facsimile autographs. I don't think they were real autographs because didn't come with any COA or anything. It's still pretty cool. I might have blown it out at a charity auction. It's cool. It's just not something, you know, that I collect. But
yeah.
I've got me a actual Pink Panther cereal box and a Kaboom box from there's a guy up in Duluth, Collector Connection. He sells boxes, both replicas. And like the Kaboom box was from General Mills when they were selling the boxes as a commemorative of Kaboom. So like if you were touring their gift shop or whatever, you could buy that. Because I asked somebody, it's a little smaller. Yeah, no, this is a replica box. He doesn't remember if it came with cereal or not, but it's like one of three versions of Kaboom cereal boxes you can get. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
Hello and welcome once again for the 500th time. It's your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
I'm doing okay. As we record, it's still sub-zero, but tomorrow we may get above zero. And compared with the stuff the rest of the country's sucking up to, power outages, ice storms, an inch of snow. It snowed in Corpus Christi down on
Corpus Christi.
Yeah, an inch of snow right along the Gulf Coast. We got nothing but ice cold up here. Ice, ice.
No,
ice.
No. We have something else. We have a special guest.
We do.
Special guest. Please sign in and tell the people who you are.
Corpus Christi. Crispy? Is that some sort of like a morgue employee?
No, it's a new brand of Rice Krispies.
Oh.
It's one of the new monster cereals from General Mills this fall.
Yep.
Gotcha. That makes sense. So instead of Snap, Crackle, and Pop, it's Snap, Crackle, and Hey, yo, it is I, Daniel Moore. Daniel, yes. Dangerous Daniel Moore. Sorry, Dan Moore. I don't know. How do you guys put it? Is it Dan Dangerous Moore or is it
no,
Dan,
we call
Dangerous
you
Dan Moore?
We call you
no,
Grandpa Moore.
No.
Grandpa Moore. I'm going to get the grandkids. Kids, get off my lawn. Oh, look at the grandkids.
Gramps.
Social Security bound Grandpa Moore.
God, I wish. I'm 27 years away from retirement, as far as I know, okay?
What's retirement?
Yeah, well, there's that too. I am not prepared and have not prepared at all. Anyway, that's what we're talking about, right, Corey?
Yes. First off, Ken has been on the show a lot over the last year. He just doesn't know it. So we'll ask him the question that we ask quite often. Dan, any conventions coming up soon?
No.
Okay, thank you. No, Dan has been locked away. How long have you been locked away? Because myself, St. Patrick's Day was the first day I was able to work from home, and it's starting to look like we may never work in the office again.
I think it was right around this time last year that I started working from home because of some of the people in the household are high risk. So, and we had the ability to work from home anyway. So it wasn't like, and some people, I work from home once a week already, you know, even beforehand. So it was just like, okay, I'm just going to stay home. And everybody's like, yeah, that's a good idea. And then they told me that, you know, because of the sickness as well, not just, you know, keeping me away from them and keeping me out of the office.
I'm starting to think they may open the office and just never tell me. But I did say on a Zoom call a little while back that they would need the jaws of life to get me to get out of my house and come in. So,
or a pie.
Oh, no, I have pie here, and the group home's calling me constantly, so I have an endless supply of pie. I could have had pie tonight. I got a call at 4 o'clock. Hey, Corey, can you come in? And I said, no, we are taping a special episode. Episode 500. We have done this for 11 years. We should be up to, like, 554, but no, it's episode 500. And I came up with a stupid idea, and everybody agreed to it.
And we called it Crazy Comics and Stories.
Oh, I meant for episode 500, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're not getting it. Okay, sorry. My apologies.
So how does it feel, guys, that you have done more episodes, almost twice as many episodes as letters you can have in a tweet?
We have done more episodes than our beloved ECW Hardcore TV.
Really?
We have lasted longer than Extreme Championship Wrestling.
I'm not commenting.
So, while Joe and I still fight like Tommy Dreamer and Raven, I have to hide the barbed wire from him because he likes wrapping it around my head. No, we are still doing it. Years after we thought we would have quit.
Years What's the secret after of your success?
Years after the people who said they were our competition. And we just ignored them and they went away.
Yeah.
Which is my personal belief. I believe that you ignore things and they go away. You know, ignore your job, it will go away. Ignore your teeth, they will go away. Ignore your competition, they will go away.
Hmm. You have to keep that in mind.
See, you actively go after people. Me, I just sit back and wait for time and entropy.
Okay.
So the idea I had was, every so often, we get mail, because we are a national treasure. I heard that.
Joe even still here?
there are times where people will ask about investing in comics. And Joe, you owned a comic shop for almost as long as this podcast. I believe now the podcast has lasted longer than your ownership of
it. It has. I had about 10 years worth of comic shop between Crazy Comics and Hot Comics. Although, if you count P&J Comics, I've been selling comics for quite a lot longer. So I like to think I do know something about selling comics, or at least making money off of it.
But people would come in and ask. They asked at Schindler's. They asked at Joe's shops. How can I invest in comics? And Joe, what did you usually tell people?
Don't. It's easier to make money off the stock market than it is off comics. The key with making money off comics, and I'm actually going to I'm going to bring up an article because this young lady figured it out. You need a combination of savvy investments, good customer relations, and right now, virtual avenues to connect with customers. Daniel Smith had an article on sci-fi.com under their sci-fi wire. Just go for a female comic book dealer and your article should pop up into Google. And under her Nerdy Girl Comics Instagram account, it's become a popular spot to check out her drool-worthy collection of vintage collectibles. And what she does, she buys them low, sells them high. I'm not being flippant about this. I'm talking she'll easily drop $100,000 on a comic or a collection if she thinks she can turn around and bang it out. Now, I'm looking at the picture on the behind the panel column that she's there. She's holding a copy of Action Number 1.5. And this is something I'll talk about later, but we're going to divide this up into ages, Corey, right?
Yes. And we're going to use the ages that they have on the eBay.
Okay. So the key is for her is she goes out and hunts these down. Action Comics 3.5, no problem. Detective Comic 5.0, no problem. And she flips these and invests them and sells them and is making a ton of money doing that. So, yeah, you want to do it? We already know what's hot. We know what's up there in price. I'm going to be referring to my trusty edition of the Overstreet Comic Books Price Guide, the 50th edition, because they have an already set, they call it Top Comics, and they have it divided up like we talked about. They don't do the Atomic Age, but they do Golden Age, Silver Age, Bronze Age, and so on. So, yeah, if you really want to invest, you want to make money in comics, go out and find these comics. You'll find them at auctions. You'll find them at thrift stores. You'll probably talk to collectors. You got to have a lot of ching in hand and some money ready to rock because you're going to spend some money, but you're going to make some money in order to do that. So, yes, it is possible to do that. The key is, a lot of these books are already known. Seriously, you are not going to buy one of the mint copies of Action Comics number one. I think there's, what, five around?
Yeah, something like
that. These things sell like pieces of art in the millions of dollars. The guys buying these are buying them. Maybe they're comic fans. There was a sheik over in the United what's that country?
United UAE. Arab Emirate.
And for years, people were wondering, who is this guy buying all these vintage comics at auction, because he was doing it anonymously, and he finally revealed himself a number of years ago saying, I'm the one who has these. And he's collecting them because he's already a multi-billionaire, so he collects them the way you and I collect omnibuses. Yeah. And he's touring the country, well, he was touring until pandemic, with these. And he's got, I mean, again, drool-worthy comics, key comics. Again, these are people with money or people that take money to make money. You have to have money to be able to do this. And really, the Golden Age comic check, because we're going to talk about that, that's one way to do it. So if you have the thing is by the time you and I know what comic is hot, it's already up there in price. A couple newer ones. What was that? Batman 213, 212. The first Tim Drake, who's now the new Batman. And if you forgive me for a moment, I'm going to fire up my old Krayton 3000 and go to the eBay. And let's just type in Batman. I think it's 212.
It's Lucius Fox, so it was in the 300s.
So, okay, maybe 313. Maybe it's 312. Nope. Yep. 313. Batman 313. It's up there. There's some auctions going. The lowest one I see is $119. This was a book that probably nobody gave a living crap about. But now that he's part of that future state Batman, people give a crap about. Remember when Black Adam was announced way, 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 way long ago? He would be the foe in the Shazam movie, and The Rock was allegedly going to play it. Well, his first Silver Age appearance was Shazam 28. Oops, all of a sudden overnight, went from a nothing book to 200-300. I don't even know what it's at now. Another one we talked about, Avenging Spider-Man number 9. First time Carol Danvers called herself Captain Marvel. First appearance. Again, those are very key books. If you can figure out the first appearance of a character, and if the character actually goes somewhere. What was the character that popped out of Amazing Spider-Man after Brand New Day? It's a cocky young blonde kid.
Oh, I don't remember, but I remember Jackpot. Everybody thought Jackpot was going to be a hot character. And Jackpot was only in two stories before they killed the character off. The other thing is about this, you know, the Lucius Fox's son is the next Batman. And everybody, oh, we got to get it, got to get it. Well, 3 years from now, if DC hasn't used that character in 2 years, no one will care. Because it's one of those where, oh, this is going to be a big thing. He's replacing Batman. Well, those plans kind of fell through. And yes, they're going to do a few Batman stories with him. But they've already, you know, okay, the future state is done. And they're going to give him a mini series. And if you're just getting a mini series instead of a regular series and you're the, quote, next Batman, unquote, you're not going anywhere. I look for that book to fall. So what we are going to talk about, books you can invest in that at the very least aren't going to lose their value.
And the first thing will be those books I just talked about. Action 1, Detective 27, Superman 1. Just find a copy. Yeah, you probably can't afford a mint one. I will suggest, though, if you're really serious about this, get yourself a membership in CGC. Because one thing CGC does is they list all the books that have ever been graded. And so, you know, if say you're looking at a copy of Action 1 that's a 5.5, you know, well, there may be 27 ahead of them that are posted better. Not everything that's graded sells. Some people just do it to do it. The other thing it tells you is, sure, you may come up and you go, well, I can't afford an Action Comics 1, but maybe I can get a More Fun Comics number 54. And then you'll find out the best graded one is a 5.5. There's nothing better than that out there, especially when you're dealing with Golden Age and rolling to Silver Age, because this was disposable entertainment. People didn't keep these things lying around thinking they were going to be investments. So, again, start with the Overstreet Price Guide. You got your list. To me, the Golden Age is pretty much over.
Well, we're going to talk rules.
Wait. Before we get into rules, can I say something?
It's Wolfie Be Bad, everybody. Wolfie Be Bad, who depends needs no introduction, but I'm giving him one anyway.
Right now, whether you can say something.
It depends on what?
It depends on where Daniel's hand is as to whether or not you can say something.
It's right where it needs to be, baby.
Yep.
So this is episode 500, right?
Yes.
500, a celebratory number, an amazing number, a huge number. And do we have cake? Do we have beer and wine and lots of alcohol, free flowing? Do we have loose moral women and men? Do we have any of this?
We do.
No.
We do. See that door back there, that closet?
Oh no. I'm not.
Check
I'm not
out
falling
the
for
closet.
This.
It's all in the closet.
I'm not social falling for this again.
Wolfie, it's all about social distancing. Go through that closet back there. You'll find it.
Okay. No.
Go
no.
On, do it.
Wait.
No.
Go
look.
Wait. Look, you geriatric overachiever. You sit there and you're celebrating by talking about investments? Fine. I'll go into the closet. I'll go check the closet. I'll leave check you. I'll leave you with your teetotaling and your.
Go.
Okay, fine.
You're letting the cake spoil. Go.
I'm going.
Is he there yet, Dan?
Yeah. What's actually in there?
Reginald, just lock the door. Leave the two together.
Oh, okay.
No!
All right.
See, so I was going to say, I have dancing girls, but due to social distancing, you guys came up to this.
He calls it his pinky finger, his middle finger, his index finger. All right, where are we? Let me hear these rules.
All right.
I love to ignore them.
We're going to do three books from each era. There are five eras. The modern era, which is 2000 to present. The copper era, which is 1986 to 2000. Bronze, which is 1970 to 1985. Silver, which is 1956 to 1970. Atomic, which is basically Golden Age post-war,
I don't recognize that Atomic Age. That was just some bullshit eBay pulled off to.
I recognize it because the books that came out were very different. The books before 46, from like 1937 to 46, very superhero focused. In 46, after the war, the superheroes went away. And they weren't even in the top 10 anymore. It was very different books.
Ah, bullshit.
And the last one we have is the Golden Age, which is all comics up to 1946. And the rule I put in place to make it a little more interesting, you can't spend more than $10,000 per book.
Yeah, I had no problem with that.
So shall we start with the Golden Age and move to the present, or start with the present and move back?
Let's start with the Golden Age, because
go ahead.
The big thing with the Golden Age is it's already done. As I said, I don't, your rules are your rules. That's fine and dandy. But if you're going to invest in the Golden Age, the books that people want are already spoken for. And I'm going to say the same thing when you get to the Silver Age for the Golden Age. I'm talking if you're seriously doing it. Otherwise, just go out. Find an unslabbed copy of any Golden Age comic that's the best condition you could ever see and buy it. And you're almost guaranteed to have something there. I say this off because, as you know, with my eBay, I'm on the bottom end of the scale. I'm not buying like that young lady we talked about, the high-end stuff. And I'm buying low-grade stuff and flipping it. And I just recently, as we talked in the last podcast, ran across, and some previous one, I had some low-grade gold, bought it for like anywhere from $1 to $10, flipped it anywhere from $30 to $100. And I wasn't investing, I was just flipping, because, you know, I buy this stuff to have fun, read, talk about it, and let it go.
He likes to
That's your key if you think you're going to invest in Golden Age comics. You're either going to go for the stuff that people already want, or go for stuff that you happen to find, which itself is harder to do because most comic shops don't have this stuff pooled up ready to sell. And if they do, they probably already use the price guide to price it out. And that's the key with the thing to remember if you're going to be using the price guide. First of all, it's static. It does not recognize those books we talked about earlier. You know, the Avenging Spider-Man, things like that. So they're dealing with what the book sold for. So I'm just looking, like, let's take a look at the Bouncer. I'm just looking at one here. 1944, 11 to 14, Fox Feature Syndicate. Good says $20, 100 upwards of 460. Good luck finding that anywhere. But if you do find it, and you find it for $460 and it's mint, that's a key book to buy because no one else has it. No one else is going to have it. That's the scarcity of the Golden Age books in great condition are such that you could almost find any Golden Age book in great condition that's not already slabbed. Buy it, slab it, and there's your investment. You know, and again, I don't know if CGC has a decent online thing where you can pop on your phone and go, oh, there's a Bouncer number 11, and they have it for $300, and this thing looks really good, and they're $460, and there are none CGC slabbed. Bingo. You just hit the gold. Think it doesn't happen. Well, when we get into some of the later ages, I'll talk about some real stuff that I did. But for me, that's your key on Golden Age. I could not tell you what issue numbers. That's why I'm curious to see what you guys come up with, because there are so many things. Let me just read the top 10 here, since we like top 10s, right? This is the top 10 100 Golden Age comics. It doesn't get below 350,000, so this is way outside. But we're talking Action number 1, Detective Comics number 27, Superman number 1, All-Star American Comics 16, Batman number 1, Marvel Comics number 1, Action Comics 7, Captain America Comics 1, Pep Comics 22. That's Archie. And the last one is Action Comics number 10. So, I mean, and these are all comics.
And the reason that Action Comics number 10 is worth more than like 3, 4, 5, 6. Action Comics number 10 was the second Superman cover, I do believe.
Yep. Soup was not on every cover. So, anyways, that's my key for doing Golden. You can invest in what they call poor man's gold. Just something one of my comic shop owners, John Nunziata, called it, where he just had beat up Golden Age anywhere from $5 to $25. He says it probably won't go up in value. Well, let me tell you, if I'd have bought that stuff 40 years ago, it definitely would have gone up in value. You know, it's out there. It's going to take a long while to look for it. I'm curious, Corey, what did you come up with? Because I'm kind of interested to see what single out of all the hundreds of titles, which ones you think are you could grab for a steal?
Not only do I think I could grab these for a steal, but they're all worth less than $10,000 each. The first one is Archie number 7. And the reason that is a key book, in the stories before this, they were all about Archie being clumsy. This was the first love triangle story with Betty and Veronica. So it's a very key issue. It's less than $10,000. And because it's highlighted in Overstreet like that, there is demand for it. And I believe that over time, this one is going to really grow in value, because now you've got Archie coming, you know, you've had Archie, you know, since the 40s. But now kids and teenagers know about Archie because of the Riverdale show. So it's a different audience. As they get older and they go into investing, those books are just going to keep going up in value. The next one is a book that
I'm shocked. By the way, I was just going to say, 3.0 on eBay for $999.
Yeah. The next one I would point to, another one less than $10,000, Human Torch number 8, where the entire issue is the Human Torch versus the Submariner. This is a story that was so important. When you read the book Marvels, most of the first issue is about this fight. Marvel has reprinted it. They reprinted it back in the 60s in Fantasy Masterpieces. They did an early facsimile edition in the 90s. This is probably, this and The Origin of Captain America are probably the two best known timely stories. And I was shocked to see that this one is less than $10,000. And then the last one I have is a book that I think, as time goes on, it's a good investment, because Crime Does Not Pay number 23. This is the second issue of Crime Does Not Pay, which was the first crime comic, which came out in 1942, I believe. I believe it's incredibly undervalued because it's the second crime comic ever published. And if you look at Overstreet, they have it listed as scarce, which means there are fewer of this book than 22, which is the first crime comic, and the first issue of Crime Does Not Pay.
Well, and if it doesn't pay, why would it be worth anything?
Well, crime doesn't pay, but publishing about crime does pay.
Yep. Oh, there's a couple on eBay right now. $745 is the top one at a 4.5 grade.
So I wanted to find books, you know, if you go with an early Captain America, an early Marvel mystery, an early action, an early detective, an early Wonder Woman, those are going to keep their value. But I think these are kind of undervalued in a way, because, you know, with all of those other books Joe mentioned, these are kind of key books. And the other thing you want to do when you're investing, you're looking for what they call key books. You know, it's more important to have the first appearance of, say, the Impossible Man in the Fantastic Four, because he was a character who went on and was also the first time Jack Kirby and Stan Lee appeared in a Marvel comic, et cetera, et cetera. That's a key book. Whereas the issues before and after, oh, it's a fight with the Submariner, it's a fight with Doctor Doom. They're still good, they're still good investments, but that issue number 11 is going to have more people looking for it because they're like, oh, yeah, I want to get that Impossible Man. Or, oh, I know that Stan and Jack would appear in the Fantastic Four. When was the first time that happened? These are a number of firsts. Then for Atomic Age, and I'm very much into the Atomic Age stuff because after World War II, you got tons of diversity of books. And also a lot of the Atomic Age stuff is crazy expensive yet. Now, Joe, did you pick any Atomic Age books?
No, because I don't recognize that as an actual age.
So the three I picked.
He's ageist.
Yep.
Well, yeah, pretty much. And Dan already said he doesn't have anything till what, last week?
Yeah, pretty much.
I am up to bronze. Thank you very much.
Okay.
No, wait. Bronze. I have bronze.
Okay. Mad number one. Mad is a comic book. Mad, one of the most influential magazines ever published. The actual first issue of the comic is still less than $10,000. And will always be in demand.
That's crazy.
Next. No, crazy's not worth much of anything. Nobody cares.
No.
The next I have is a book. When I looked it up, Joe, I want you to look up this book and tell me what it's going for. Because when I looked it up, I was shocked at how little it's going for. And I know it's going to be going for more over the next few years. Young Men number 24.
Survey says.
Didn't know we were including that type of book.
Well, yeah, it was published.
There are six on the eBays. One is restored at $485. The top is a good at over $2,000. And then there's the first slabbed one. There's one person that's slabbed at 4.0 asking $950. Another person.
Oh, that's a bargain. I'm sorry, that's a bargain.
Yeah. There's another person who's got it, CBSC, not CGC. His grade of 2.0, he's asking $2,500. Yeah, there's a lot of, there's some really cheap ones here.
You know why this is a key book? This is the return of Captain America, the Human Torch, and the Submariner in the 50s. They had all pretty much, they were all gone by the late 40s. Marvel actually was, Martin Goodman was actually putting together a deal to make a Submariner TV show. So he told Stan Lee to bring him back. When the TV show fell through and sales hadn't gone anywhere, kill him. But Young Men number 24, first appearance of those characters in the 50s. And does Joe know who drew the Captain America feature?
I don't.
John Romita.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. John Romita drew all the Captain America in the 50s.
So I would almost say for people in this era, same thing. Look for that great copy. And I'm starting as Corey mentions a comic, I type it into the eBays and see what I come up with. If you got $18,000, you can get almost a complete set of Mad, the comic. And some of these are priced 7.5 in terms of grading. But I think, yeah, Mad would be great. EC Comics would be great. Anything pre-code, atomic bomb covers started to get real crazy. Eye motif where there was damage to the eye, that drove covers crazy. These are all subcategories which people collect. And I collected the new covers for a while. And they're kind of – oh, okay.
I have a serious question, surprisingly. I'm not just being a jerk here. I don't actually know well, which is very sad because I also used to work in a comic store, not as long as Joe did, or for the passion that he had. But what is the grading system for those who don't necessarily know?
One to 10. 10 being the best, perfect, absolute, immaculate, from the hand of God to you, which never, ever exists. The ones that happen are a fluke. And when they happen, those prices go ungodly insane because you're buying what is certified as the best copy. For all the mint copies of Spawn number one, there's maybe 5 that got a 10. And when they surface, people go crazy over them. 9.8 is about the best you'll probably see in modern comics. For the stuff we've been talking about now, I'd be very shocked to find 9s anywhere. Like even now, this one is back in the Golden Age. Batman 49. Oh, no, that's Atomic Age, I guess, 1948, which is a Mad Hatter Joker Genie cover. 6.0, $5,000.
And that's considered very fine. One of the things about the 9.8, usually those are the ones that have gone direct from the printer to CGC. And there are services that do that. You know, if you go to your comic shop and you buy a book and you mail it to CGC, even if you're wearing, you know, the white cloth gloves and you wrap it as best you can and send it, odds are it's probably going to be anywhere between a 9 and a 9.6, which is mint to, near mint to near mint plus.
Yeah.
9.8 is usually that is direct from the printer, that where they have people at the printer who take them and grade and slab them.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it used to be, we'll get into a little history here, used to be mint, fine, and good. That was it.
Yeah. And even on some of the newer comics, you'll see where Overstreet only grades them like that, especially with the, because he's like, hey, if it ain't near mint, nobody wants it.
But then as more collectors came in, and these were the grades in Overstreet, and I guess in the early 70s, there were a number of competing price guides. But by 1976, they'd all faded, and Overstreet was the main one. And then they added, there was good, very good, fine, very fine, near mint, and mint.
Well, like then, me describing Max's girlfriend.
And everything tends to drop by 0.5. So like when you go from very fine near mint to very fine, it's a 9.0. to 8.5, and so on and so on.
And the 10-point scale was invented by Overstreet in the Overstreet Grading Guide, which came out in 1989. And that was the first time, you know, because it used to be in the price guide, it would just be, you know, a description. Then the grading guide came out, and they showed pictures with examples of, okay, if a book has this defect, it brings it down to this. If it has this defect, it brings it down to this. Here is what a near mint book looks like. Here's what a mint book looks like. And when the grading guide came out, it was incredibly controversial. Dealers either loved or hated it, depending on whether they were grading too tough or too light. Because, oh, wow, all of my very, very good books are now fine. Shinders, they made us pull it off the shelf a day after it came out. And we were not to sell it because they were much rougher on the grading than Shinders was.
Yeah. Besides, when you're selling porn, you don't have to sell anything else. You know, you make enough money on that.
Well, they made money on the high dollar books back then.
Does Corey know what is the lowest book ever graded by CGC?
Yes, it was Stan Lee's personal copy of a comic that was coverless and missing pages.
And do you know what the grade was?
Wasn't it like a 0.1 or a 0.0?
Uh-huh. It was actually, you're right, 0.0. And CGC said the only reason they graded that was because it was Stan Lee's. They didn't want to rush the people sending in crappy comics to be graded it. Although I have seen 0.1 incomplete where people have like, here's a coverless or the back cover of an Action Comics number 2 or something. So you might see things, weird things like that occasionally pop up.
There is also the girlfriend, what do they call it? The girlfriend defaced cover, which is some high-dollar comic that a guy's girlfriend wrote on it that, you know, you love these things more than me, I'm leaving you, blah, 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 blah. It has been graded. and it's going around in collector circles.
Yeah, it pops up a lot. So the question is whether it's actually legitimately worth that or if it's just like, okay, Corey, you bid on this comic and pump that up, and then Dan bids on yours, and I bid on Dan, and we just keep it going up and up.
Well, the reason
is it legit, or are they doing some type of market manipulation? No, nobody knows. It's
the reason the girlfriend to Facebook. It's become legendary, so people want it.
Oh yeah, but the fact that it keeps popping up over and over makes me think that the guys who are doing this are just doing it to keep the heat on it. Otherwise, it'll disappear into a person's collection and never be found again.
By the way, the third book that I have for the Atomic Age is the only EC number one that comes in less than $10,000, which is, you know, stupid because, hey, it's an EC number one. There's always going to be collectors for it, and that's Weird Science number 12. By the way, I have a very good copy of Weird Science number 12, except it was published in Canada, so it has the cover of Weird Science number 12, and the interiors are Weird Fantasy number 15, because Canada would often switch covers when they would print books.
Yep. The graded one they have for 7.5 at almost 2,000. Other than that, a lot of ungraded ones hovering around $100. Actually, hang on a second.
Wait.
Yeah, there they are. Weird Science number 12, $125, $120 for good. So, yeah, you can find that one, and I think Corey's right. This one's really, really undergraded. To finish off the Atomic Age, you know, I talked about Mad Magazine. I'd say almost any comic from that era, because, you know, especially superhero ones. You know, this was before the superhero started to rebound and take over pretty much comics as its main thrust. But, you know, you're going to have romance. You got a lot of Dell. You got some of the four colors. Key is condition. You know, find the best condition. And I do give the story that I've said on the regular podcast, but when the guy I bought a lot of my comics from in my youth, John Nunziata at St. Paul Comic, he got kind of teased and derided, and everybody stuck their noses up because when he started out, he went to all the comic stores in town and bought all their Golden Age, regardless of price. And everybody thought, oh, he's nuts. He's never going to stay in business for that. Well, in the 80s, when the Golden Age started creeping up, well, guess who had it all? You know, nowadays we're a little easier because we've got, you know, eBays. I don't know if Amazon sells graded comics, but it's a lot.
I haven't seen any, so.
Yeah, I hope they don't. That'll be the end of it. But, you know, there's auction houses. There's Christy used to go to auction houses all the time, you know, and try to bid on things like that. You can put out ads. Every so often ads, somebody rumbles through the Twin Cities. We're buying up everybody's collectibles. Bring them down. So,
oh, I remember those people who would put ads in the Star Tribune in the early 90s where they would be at either the Minneapolis Convention Center or one of the hotels downtown. Bring your collection. We're in town and buying. And they were, oh, I know people who went down there and it was like they offered me $20 a long box. I said, yeah, it's what they do. They go through town. They're going to hit the shops and buy up the high dollar stuff. But for regular people, they're just basically they want the people who don't know anything.
Yeah.
And I just, to tell all you those the truth, people are gone by now.
What did Steve Brown say? A box of comics now is about $8 wholesale. Yeah. Doesn't matter what's in it. So it's dropped. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We want things to go up.
And now we are at Silver Age. Silver Age is 1956 to 1970. eBay says it ends at 1970. I say it ends in 1970 as well. You know why, Joe?
Why is that?
That is when Jack Kirby left Marvel and went to DC.
Yeah, and this is one of those, again, it used to be Silver Age to whatever. Since then, they've divided it into two, and I'm saying since because, you know, I started buying in 1978. So Silver Age, I think, that's a good ending for it. Because after that, you get into the bronze. And then they've since done a copper age before we get to modern age. So all these ages, what a wonderful age we live in. Right now, we're in the silver age. Let me just read you the Overstreet's top 10. And some of these you probably have heard of. Amazing Fantasy 15, Incredible Hulk 1, Fantastic Four 1, Showcase 4, Brave and Bold 28, Journey into Mystery 83, Amazing Spider-Man 1, X-Men 1, Tales of Suspense 39, Showcase 22. These are the top ones. Go all the way back to the beginning of the podcast. If you really got the money, these are the ones you want to go after. And they ain't never coming down, folks.
Where are the X-Men?
I don't know. It's never last.
I'm kind of surprised the X-Men is as high as it is. Because the original X-Men, even today, there's not as much demand as the new X-Men. And the X-Men was the one book that Marvel had. It was kind of their lowest selling book. So when they expanded, they are expanding. Oh, we could sell more than 8 books. Here we go. And the X-Men sales just stayed flat. So they were like, okay, kill it. Then after they killed it, it was like, oh, look, when Neil Adams came on the book, it doubled in sales. Well, shit.
So. The first X-Men I find on the eBays, a 6.5 copy for $34,000. So
pocket change.
Yeah.
This was another one where $10,000 made it harder to find stuff.
Now, on the bottom end, Overstreet has books $10,000 or less. I'll read these off quick. And Our Army at War 81, Richie Rich number 1, Flash 106, Amazing Spider-Man 4, Brave and Bold 25, Flash 123, Avengers 4. They got those listed around 8,000, which to me is a really good deal. Journey into Mystery 84, 85, and Strange Tales 89. Now,
Strange Tales 89. Who was in Strange Tales 89?
I don't know. Let me fire up
that.
I'll look that one up. I will tell you the ones that I think in Silver Age go up. Now, weird thing about Silver Age.
That's just nuts. You know what Strange Tales 89 is?
What's that?
Fin Fang Foom.
Really? I've seen crazier things.
That's great.
For me, if I was going to invest in Silver Age comics.
The first appearance of
I would go for any four color that you could find higher than 8.0. Because these were, I mean, pretty much everything in this Silver Age list, I'm just kind of scanning it. Everything is superhero. I mean, you could maybe argue Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane romance, but, you know, it's got Superman on it. There's absolutely no four color. There's no Dell. There's no romance. There's your entire genre. So if you could find a cherry copy, what would be a good Dell comic? Let me type in.
Walt Disney's Comics and Stories.
There we go. Let's do that. Walt Disney Comics and stories. And I will further define it. They go all. And we are going Silver Age. Oops. Let's pop back a bit. There's a Walt Disney Comics and Stories number 31. $5,000. There, that's an 8.5. Here's a 2.5. Well, this one says 1940, so they're kind of this is fudging because eBay, whoever put this on eBay didn't put it under the right category. 2.5 for 5,000. Here's one. Nah, these are all bad. Oh, they're posting them in the wrong category. They got they're all these books from 1941 that they have posted in the Silver Age. So I'm just going to keep flying through. But again, that's the key, just to look for what is in the best shape you can find and graded. And for me, the big thing is because I collected Dell comics for a long time, and what I loved on the Dell 4-Color were the photo covers. And there just weren't a lot of good photo covers available. To me, I would pick up runs of the Monkees that Dell did. Try to find the cheriest copy you can. There were only, I think, 18 issues, and just nobody kept them in good shape. And it's the Monkees. There's always going to be a collector for it because a lot of Monkee collectors might be out collecting all the current stuff, but they're going to go nuts when they find out there were comics. And they're all photo covers. Hogan's Heroes, another run. Hot Wheels. Hot Wheels may go a little bit later, but it's late 60s. Again, these are all Dell or Gold Key comics that just have a dual collector base. There was a G.I. Joe comic there. There are two Barbie comics I'm aware of. But anything with that photo cover, how could you not love a Rawhide cover with a very young Clint Eastwood on it? And if you're so lucky, maybe you can do like our good buddy at Twin City Comics does. Go out and maybe Clint will be signing copies of it. Because as we all know from when we had him on the show, he does mostly newer comics with photo covers. But boy, some of these older covers, to be able to get the actors, if they're still around.
You had Clint Eastwood on the show?
Yep. And we wanted to make sure you and Wolfie didn't bother him, so we locked the closet. Sorry.
Oh. But
so,
but,
anyways, that would be my key.
I would have done Paint Your Wagon songs with him.
You are not going to find really cherry copies of Rawhide or Dell or photo covers out there. There are secondary superheroes, Herbie, whatever. But that, to me, would be the key ones you want to look for because they just ain't out there. Now, what do you have, Corey, down? Because you went for specific comics.
The first one that I was looking up, because it was like, oh, this one's got to be right under $10,000. And I was wrong. A mint copy is over $10,000. And that's Tales to Astonish, number 13, the first appearance of Groot.
Groot.
By the way, yeah. He's killed at the end of the story.
Yeah.
And he talks.
I knew that one was going up.
I knew it would be worth a lot, but I didn't know it would hit the 10,000 mark.
No, I knew it already because I talked about when my old dentist would, before he would put me under, we were always talking about which comics to invest in. And him and his son were investing like what we talked about, 9.8 or above. And I said, well, Groot's first appearance was the comic you just mentioned. I said, I think it's too late for that because of Guardians of the Galaxy. I didn't. And at that time, I think it was hovering around $5,000-$6,000. So obviously. Did you look on the eBays to see if there are any?
Yeah, there are some. And goodness, they are red hot, folks.
And now are they? What type of condition?
Okay, here's a 6.0 for $3,495.
Yeah.
Here's a 4.0 for $2,550. Here's a 6.5 for $4,695. But the three I chose that I think are still investment worthy and less than $10,000. Avengers number 4, which is the first Silver Age appearance of Captain America. Fantastic Four number 48, which is the first appearance of Silver Surfer and Galactus, which I thought would be worth a lot more than that by now. And then Flash 123. Joe, what was Flash 123?
I don't know. Didn't he meet some geriatric who had the same name?
Yep, Corey? The Flash of Two Worlds.
Yep.
Oh.
The invention of the multiverse for DC Comics.
And that's gone so well for them.
They got a whole bunch of TV shows out of it.
That's true.
See, now I'm wondering because the other two, I would think, what were the Justice League books that they actually met the whole JSA?
Wasn't that 22
and 23? I'll type 22. I'll type that in. I actually had those at one time. Yep, there they are. 21 and 22. That would be. That's actually a corollary to what you pick. That would be something I would pick because they're not that high in price. Here's someone who's got both of them graded 4.3, 6.8 respectively, $475. You know, if you can find them in better shape, God bless you, but there are a lot of them out there, and this is just this is going to be a common problem. Finding them better than very good. And if you can.
I think one of the things about the books that we've talked about so far, and any high dollar book, you may have to go to auction houses for rather than eBay. You may have to go to Heritage or Christie's or any of those auction houses. Every so often when, you know, Joe talks about winning the lottery, every so often I'll pop over there to see, you know, oh, look, here's a Kirby cover. How much is that going for? $350,000, and it's not even one of the good Kirby covers.
Yeah.
If you're looking to invest, those places you're going to pay high dollar for, but they're going to have the prestige, such as, Joe, we haven't even talked about the Church Collection, also known as the Mile High Collection.
Quick question first, actually, before you get into that, Corey. Are there any good Kirby covers?
One or two.
Oh, okay.
I actually talked to someone today who has the New Gods cover he drew for Amazing Heroes. And he said that, you know, when he retires, he's going to be able to sell that and buy a house. So there is that. Joe, do you know the entire story of the Edgar Church Collection?
I know enough of it, but I'm not a good storyteller. So I'm going to sit back with a tasty beverage and listen while Corey explains the Church Collection.
What it was in Denver, there was a commercial artist who had passed away and his wife was moving. And he had bought tons of comic books to use as artistic reference. And you know, Denver, not high humidity, doesn't get super hot. He kept them in a file cabinet, you know, stored kind of upright and just beautifully stored. And she called the local comic book shop, which was Mile High Comics, and said, yeah, my husband had all these comics. I just want to get rid of them. I'm moving tomorrow. I've been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And if you don't come by them, I'm just going to throw them away. So Chuck Rozanski, who owned Mile High Comics, drove up to the house. And here are these beautiful, nearly pristine mint. Many of them had never even been opened. Golden Age books. Early Superman, early Batman, early Captain America, early Marvel Mystery, early Captain Marvel. Boom, boom, boom. Just rows and rows and rows of them. And he said, I'll buy them all. let me, you know, my car will only hold so many. I'll go and I'll get. And she was like, nope, whatever you do not take, I'm throwing away because I am moving tomorrow morning. I've put it off long enough. And he worked out a deal with her and paid her money and loaded his car as best he could. This was before the age of cell phones, so he couldn't call any of his friends to say, get your car over here right now. And he loaded up as many as he could in his car. Drove them back. This was early with bags, so they were bagged and boarded. And that is where Mile High Comics came from. He sold these copies, you know, kind of hand-selling them at conventions. They are considered the best copies of these books, to the point where when he started selling them in the 70s, he had a certificate made, you know, these are part of the Mile High collection. And the widow wouldn't let her name, wouldn't let the name of the artist be released until she had passed away, because she didn't want any more of these goddamn comic fans bothering her for more books.
Yeah.
And when she passed away, Chuck told the whole story. He had kept it private through her entire life, like she asked. And there was a point where Steve Geppi, the owner of Diamond, wanted to put the collection back together. But he gave up on that in the 90s as the books just went insanely out of price. Just, if you've got a Church copy, you know, a Mile High copy or an Edgar Church, it's going to be 2 to 3 times what the mint price is because it's such a prestige collection. And there are a few other prestige collections. I know Mark Waid, when he sold off his comic collection, had stuff printed, and it's considered a prestige collection. So another thing about investing, if you're able to get something from a prestige collection, it's going to be worth more. A book that is slabbed is going to be worth 2 to 3 times more than an unslabbed book.
So period. We have to wait until Corey dies and we'll have the Strode collection.
I imagine so. Except the EC books never get sold. They get handed down generation to generation.
Did you have a third one?
That is my will.
Did you have a third one?
No, those are the big things.
Okay.
Oh, for I had Avengers number 4, Fantastic Four 48, and Flash 123.
Okay, because you didn't talk about 48. 48, of course, being
Silver Surfer and Galactus.
The first, yeah. The last one I was going to mention in the Silver Age, Beatles. They only had 2 official comics, one from Gold Key, Beatles, Yellow Submarine. Right now, an 8.0 is going for $900 on the eBays. The key with this book is there was a poster inside. And I had one at one time with a poster inside, and I sold it. And right now they're going for about $800. Without the poster, drops it quite significantly. The other book was done. It was a Dell Giant comic, and it has the Beatles. Complete life stories, 8 pinups, color photos. There's a 6.5 for $600. I've seen them higher, and the one I got is basically a reader copy because the guy kept it together with tape and stuff. But even after that, Girls Romance Comics number 109, 7.0 with Beatles on the cover, $700. There's, of course, the Strange Tales 130 that has a Beatle cameo inside and the Thing and Human Torch wearing Beatle wigs. Apparently they were fireproof. $350. There's a couple other goofy ones. Teen Beat had it all over. Teen Confessions, they're on the cover. Patsy and Heidi, number 110. These are all in the 100 range. They're affordable if you can find them. They're not the highest grade. But again, it's a crossover thing. You're getting not only a comic, but you're also, it's for Beatle fans. And to find that elusive, super high mint one, they're out there. If you got $900, go get that one off of eBay before the podcast's over. And those would be, that would be my last pick for Silver Age. In terms of, you know, if you're looking for specific comics to load up on. Oh, by the way, the fine print at the beginning of the show says if you do pick up any of the comics we mentioned And so we get well, at least a Wikipedia page.
We get 30%, the same as Big Money Matt Hardy gets.
Yeah, no. Well, I want a Wikipedia page. It'll last longer. Yep. Now
Dan can join in.
Yes. Yay.
We're up to the Bronze Age, which is 1970 to 1985. And the reason it's 1985, in my opinion, 1985 was when Crisis on Infinite Earths happened. So the multiverse that was created in the Silver Age at DC ended in 1985. That's also Marvel's 25th anniversary. They did the New Universe, which, you know, that's a good way to say, yeah, it's over. It's over, kids. Tap out.
I would like to say, before I start to give any of my opinions, I bet on myself dying at 20 and totally screwed that one up by over 20 years so far. So I would not necessarily go with what I say.
Or just think of it as it's going to take longer for Dan's investments to pay off.
Yeah.
A lot longer.
Yeah, and you're the first of all three of us to become a grandfather, and you don't even have kids.
I know.
Cut the Bronze Age off at 83. So I don't know if comics we say are going to fall in between that character, because I agree with Corey going to the Crisis. I'm not going to read the top 525 Bronze Age comics, because here, these are ones that I actually had on my list.
Yeah.
The first one, of course, is Incredible Hulk 181. I mean, obviously the cat's out of the bag on this one. And while I blabber on, if you didn't know, that is actually the first full Hulk story that actually has Wolverine in it, who later got to be hot on the X-Men. As I look, the highest priced one, there's a 9.8. Well, that doesn't count because Stanley autographed it for 85. But people are asking 9.8, $60,000, 9.6, 30, 9.38. There's 38. So the cat might be out of the bag on this one. It's still worth picking up. You'd have to go down to about maybe an 8.0 and get it.
Well, those are slabbed copies. An unslabbed copy.
I haven't had a slab
yet. Well, nobody's going to put an unslabbed copy on the eBays. But if you go by Overstreet, an unslabbed mint copy is still less than $10,000, which blows me away.
And this is where I talked about earlier. Don't you believe it? Because if you walked into a comic shop and you go, I'd like to get Incredible Hulk for under $10,000, not going to happen. Same thing with like a Star Wars 135-cent price variant, or an Iron Fist 14, Iron Fist 14 you might be able to find. But
you know why, I get the Star Wars? Star Wars is going for $12,000.
Yeah.
So
and that's not the 35-cent variant. See, and even here, I'm looking at prices on their list where they're saying Star Wars 1 is $12,000. No, these are last year's prices. So again, it's a guide. It's not a Bible. So don't be shocked if you're given faces of derision. So the first unslabbed one on eBay, by the way, he's guessing is a fine copy, very fine, for about $3,600. So you can find them. For me, the sad story, Corey, should we have a sad story?
Oh, no. Sad news, everyone.
Sad news. Yeah, sad story. I actually had picked up a Hulk 181 9.0 for the high price of $500 back in the mid-90s. This was going to be an investment book. I was just going to sit on it. At the time, it was the highest buck I could find. It was actually offered by Wizard, so I was kind of buying it through them.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Sadly, 2 years later, I had to sell it $700. Card trouble. Needed a car. And now, of course, I'm looking at it 9.0 up in the tens of thousands of dollars. So again, you may buy these things. You may have to dump them right away, but there's my proof of the pudding. Had I hung on to that, I could have been saying, I got one of them sitting in my safe deposit box. My second one I recommend, if you can find it, a Cerebus number one. And I had one. And it was autographed. It was an original. It wasn't even a false one. Dave Sim autographed it when we went to meet him. And
can I disagree with you on that?
You can, but it doesn't matter. These are my investments.
Right, but here's why I wouldn't invest in Cerebus number one. The market for Cerebus is closed. There aren't going to be new people coming in and going, oh, wow, here's this Cerebus thing. I really should get that. The people who buy Cerebus are the people who've already bought Cerebus. Any new readers they get, which are going to be a minuscule number, are just going to buy it in the phone books. And I don't know how much it's gone up in the past few years, but I doubt it's gone up in price very much.
It has.
There's not a lot of demand.
It has.
How much?
2019 to 2020 went up 7%.
Okay.
Again, it's not like Hulk 181, it's gone up like 50%, but it's a key issue, and that's the thing, key issue. And the bottom line is, if you can find one, first of all, these were poorly printed. You'll be damn lucky if you can get probably an 8 out of it. Matter of fact, I'm looking right now, and there are no graded copies on eBay because there were so few published that there's not even a real one on there. You know, they've been reprinting it in various formats. Yeah, it's just not out there. So if you can find it to begin with, even unslapped, you got yourself something. Like Corey said, it's not going to be a fast grower, but it ain't going to go down because there just ain't that many out there. The final book for me is Giant Size X-Men number one. A better investment is 94, because again, there weren't many 90. There are less 94s than there are Giant Size one. But this is the first new X-Men. As Corey alluded to earlier, this is the first time you've got the new X-Men. It's not going down. It ain't never going down. And as I want to do, I'll tap it in the old eBays and let's see. I always giggle when I type in Giant Size. Number one. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, never mind. Too late. 9.8. $30,000. Again, find yourself one. You don't have to, you can go down to 9.0 and you can find one for $9,000. And again, it ain't going down. They'll reprint. They've reprinted this thing ad nauseum. I'm going through my collection and what I should do is just for shits and giggles, take a picture of all the different versions they've republished this thing in, from Marvel Millennium to back of the little comic book and back of one of the toys to just, Marvel Milestone. That's what it's called. To the omnibus, to the non-omnibus, to the whatever. If there's a reason to reprint this, they will find a way to reprint it. But it's not going to take the place of a real one. And like I said, Fast on Its Heel is an uncanny. Well, I think it was just called X-Men at the time, wasn't it? 94.
Yeah, it was just X-Men. It still had Uncanny on the cover, but it wasn't officially Uncanny X-Men till sometime in the mid-80s. Kind of like how Spider-Man was just Spider-Man until they went, oh, we're going to do another Spider-Man book, so this is Amazing Spider-Man.
So here's somebody, well, let's see, somebody autographed that one. An autographed one for $5,000. I think Chris Claremont autographed it. Here's a non-autographed 9.4 for $4,000. So yeah, that's a still fairly decent priced. So Maybe the market switched back, because for a while there, people were going nuts for 94. And this is just like what you were talking about, Corey, how, you know, market may adjust. For a while there, after Giant Size X-Men was so hot and everybody knew it was the book to get, suddenly people started focusing on 94, realizing it was, you know, the second, but the first comic series, well, that's kind of straightened itself out. Both rare books, they're not going down. But anyways, that would be my three, the Star Wars one, Cerebus one, and a giant size X-Men one. What you got for us, Corey?
Actually, let's go to Dan.
Ooh. Mr. Dan with a tan, so saran. He's a granddad, you know.
That one didn't rhyme.
It didn't have to.
my choices of the three, one should be really obvious. And again, realize that I'm more of the amateur investor because I'm also looking at the books that I liked. And so it's like, but of those, these are probably ones that I think might eventually go up in price. Like Iron Man volume one, number 55, for the first Thanos appearance.
Yep.
Excellent choice.
How much is that one going for, Joe?
I will fire it up.
I will see what Overstreet says.
The one I found was...
I always call it the Overpriced Street Guide because back in E-Man, they did a parody of it and called it the Overpriced Street Guide, and that has just stuck with me forever.
Yeah, the highest one on eBay right now is $450 unslabbed. Slabbed one, 5.5, is going for $6. So, this is pretty. Oh, hang on a second.
I found one for $1,500.
I had to flip the eBay search because they keep switching on me. What I did is I flipped it to price plus shipping, and that changes it. So now there's a 9.2 signed by somebody for $5,000.
Overstreet has it for $1,500.
Yeah, no, don't believe it. 9.6, 4,000. A lot of signed ones going up. So yeah, you can look around, you can find them. They haven't gone bug nut crazy. Like Corey mentioned earlier with Cerebus, this one may be cooling a little bit just because Thanos hit the big hot guy he is in the movies. He's dead, Jim. And
he's coming back in Eternal. I mean, in the movies too.
Yeah,
he's not done yet.
Oh yeah, they're doing the multiverse thing, and you should be able to find some unsigned nice copies. But you know, everything that seems to be on the eBays right now is ranging from like 6 to 8. So you might want to hold out, try to find yourself a decent 9. Like this guy for $9,000. This one was signed by Stan Lee. You can't go wrong with that. You get a 9.0 comic, and you get Stan Lee's autograph.
Yeah, there you go. That works.
And Stan actually complained about it and had Jim Starlin removed from the book. Did you ever hear what Roy Thomas said about Thanos' first appearance? Now, Dan, you've read Thanos' first appearance, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And he looked very, very different.
Yes.
And you want to know why he bulked up so much? Roy Thomas told Jim Starlin, if you're going to steal characters from Jack Kirby's New Gods, steal the cool one, Darkseid.
Well, you know, I can agree to that.
Stan also, when he read the story by Starlin, he said, this doesn't make any sense. I don't want him on Iron Man anymore. So Jim Starlin get true strikes, which is stay on Iron Man that long.
Yeah, well, ended up making Stan a lot of money, I think.
Well, made everybody a lot of money. Well,
yeah.
And what's your next one?
Next one, let's see, Bronze Age. Sorry, these got a little mixed up. The Death of Captain Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
That one I think is cool just because he is still the only superhero that I know of that has not actually ever come back to life. they've had him in like the Realm of Dead of the Dead. There was the one, you know, the Earth X stuff, but that was a, you know, wasn't part of the main universe at all. And then there's technically the evil version of him from the Cancerverse, but I wouldn't call that a resurrection because he was just a villain for a story arc. And it wasn't really him. So he's still the only superhero that has never actually come back, and he just died of cancer. To me, that's a strong story that will resonate throughout, you know, throughout where whatever it is. Plus, it was a big thing in comics. Like you said, it was close to the time where they were starting to reset the stuff, and that was kind of almost the start of it for Marvel.
It was also the first of the Marvel graphic novel line, which was the they were more like the European comic albums, where, you know, when we think graphic novel now, we think, you know, book size, but back then it was, well, it's a 48 pages, so that's a novel.
Yeah,
but it was the first. It's only going for $95 now, according to Overstreet. But I would imagine there was a lot of room for growth because it was the first of the graphic novels. And again, Starlin kind of wrapping up all of his Thanos stuff in that book.
Yeah. Also, I found it for $3,000 on. Okay, I put a sorry, I found it from a range, and I put like what I found is the mid, which is about 3,000.
Okay, Marvel graphics.
Let's see, the highest eBay they've got, one signed by Jim Starlin for 4,000.
Oh, maybe it was a signed one. I didn't know it.
They have some that are $476 that aren't slabbed. Here's a 9.8 for $449. So it's the actual first print, $300 to $400. I think, yeah, that could be one that's going to go up. They have reprinted it a few times. And the 4001 I talked about actually signed by Jim Starlin. So you're picking up two collectors, not only autograph
slab too. Another thing people are going to learn is those books kind of flimsy. So finding a near mint or mint copy is going to get harder and harder and harder, which if you notice is what's happening with the New Mutants graphic novel, which is number 4. That's the Marvel graphic novel from that line that's exploded in price because it's first appearance of the New Mutants. But they're finding that most of them, even in the regular shipping with that black cover, got scuffing all over.
Yeah, sure.
Basically, bottom line is that 9.8 sitting on eBay right there, it's a pretty damn good deal.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the same thing with the New Mutants. Of course, what comes up in New Mutants a lot is the first Deadpool appearance.
Yeah.
That's not the range we're looking for. Let me tighten that up a bit. Fortunately, they both fall together.
And Dan, what was your number 3?
Number 3, I had to put one down. I put Transformers Volume 1, Issue 3, because it's the one with Spider-Man in it.
That can never be reprinted.
Exactly. Even the bound editions that you can pick up, it's missing in them. It's not there because of the rights. So that one, I figured, will always be something that any Transformer collector is going to want to get. I have one, but, you know, I read it.
They don't break it out in Overstreet. It's just an early issue, and it's going for $24.
Oh, Jesus.
I agree. I do think that it's one of those, like, there's a Doctor Who appearance in a Marvel comic in Death's Head can never be reprinted.
And actually, in Doctor Who's own comic book, because Doctor Who's the one who shrunk Death Head down from a giant Transformer-sized robot in the British comic to what he is now. He's normal-sized.
Really?
Death Head? Yeah. I went on a whole tear trying to find those comics, and I finally got them all. Because there's a whole range of Transformer comics that were published in the British versions only. They were a lot of them were reprinted by I don't know if IDW did it. Whoever had the license.
No, it was the Devil's Due.
Classic UK. No, I think it might have been either one. It was called Classic UK, Transformers UK. So a lot of this stuff was reprinted, but not everything. The Deadhead appearances were because they were fighting Unicron. And then there was that one appearance in Doctor Who that I found where he gets contracted to go after Doctor Who. Doctor Who shrinks him down and escapes. Goes into the Deathhead comic. Not Deathhead. Oh, yeah. The one you talked about, Corey. And then, of course, there's another one. And I can't remember. It was in the UK line where Death's Head's in it, which is his first comic book appearance, which is going crazy. Because the other two were the magazine size UK versions. And I'll figure that out while we're going. I did want to mention the 1982 Marvel graphic novel, 9.8. There's one there for $9,050 on eBay. Good place to go. Couple 9.8s on the only two 9.8s of the Transformer number 3 we were just talking about. One's for $300, one's for $340. Again, these are things live. I don't believe they will sell by the time this podcast drops. And if not, go right to the eBays. You get a chance to pick them up because these would be ones pick up and sit on for the exact reason Dan just mentioned.
Everybody has mentioned mine. I had Hulk 181, Giant Size X-Men number 1. I did not choose the Star Wars number 1, which
I
think
is the Transformers one, right?
No.
No.
But there's one I have that nobody chose.
Hmm?
There were only 3,000 printed. It's probably one of the most popular comic book licensees not owned by Marvel and DC, and that is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 1.
Oh, sure.
First printing in 1984, so it comes in right under the wire. It's not at 10,000 yet, but if you go out to eBay, there aren't any first printings. None.
Yeah, there's one $53,000.
Oh,
there's another one. For,
I'm looking and I can't find it.
There's, yeah, no, and this one auction just popped up. Starting at $50,000. After that,
starting
you go for a third print at $40. And here's another 9.2 first print for $35. So, yeah, this one, I actually have this in my Copper Age because I was going with the eBay cutoff, and their cutoff was 1994 or 1984.
If you take a look, the third printing is going for $40,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there are less and less of them printed. So,
well, no, there are four of the second print, 10,000. Joe, why could they only print 3,000 copies of the first issue?
I have no idea.
They only had the money to pay for 3,000 copies. They had borrowed the money from their uncle. They were only able to get enough money to print 3,000 copies. They had sold out before they even sent them to the distributors.
This is the old black and white, right?
Yep. They had to wait for the money for the distributors. They used all of that money for the second printing. So there were more of the second printing. It sold out. They took all the money they had made from the second printing for the third printing. This is before they even did a second issue. But they were so hand-to-mouth when they started that it's, you know, we've got orders for six or 7,000. Well, we only have $300, so we could only print 300 copies. And that's why I think that is X-Men, Wolverine, everything. Those are key books. That Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 1, that's a character that every child who was at least 5, from like by age 5 to 12 in 1989, is going to want that book.
Yeah, there just ain't a lot out there. We've got a few. 3 out of the 3,000 are on eBay. Come get some.
And now we get to the Copper Age, which is 1986 to 2000.
And this is where I would disagree, because I went with the eBays, where they cut it at, eBay cut it at 84, which is why for me, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles would have been on my list.
I don't understand why 84. Kind of a, what would be that demarcation?
I don't know. It's eBay. They can cut it whatever they want. I think what they're doing is just probably looking at, oh, we got this percentage of people selling it this year. Let's do it this way.
I could
there's probably no real consensus yet, or if there was, it would just be too much of a headache. Because eBay was one of the few that actually started putting on Copper Age on their auctions, and people were bitching and moaning about that when it first showed up. Nobody's bitching and moaning anymore. So it doesn't really matter, because when you're searching things, like when I'm searching for my first one, I type in Amazing Spider-Man 300 because the search engine will look for it no matter where it is. Some people got it listed in Modern Age. Some people got it listed in Copper Age. There's a few people who got it listed in Bronze Age. Go figure. But if you just use the search engine, the first one that comes up is signed by a ton of people for $2,500, and they're all 9.8s. To get a non-signed one, you can drop as low as $6,888.88. So again, I don't know who signed it. The one is a five-time signature, so you're paying more for the signature. But there you go. $7,000, 9.8. You can't really get better than that. I wish we had a membership to CGC, because it would be fun to look up these issues we're talking about and see, is there anything? Is there a 9.9 out there? Because if they're in, they also mark as to whether or not it's been sold or not. Because a lot of people will grade these, sell them, whether it's at auction or eBay. And if they don't, that means somebody graded a high copy and never got rid of it, which happens. So for me, Spider-Man 300 is the first one. Corey, do you remember the Spider-Man Platinum Edition?
Yes, I do.
When Todd McFarlane was graduated to his own book, he, as a thank you, what they did like four different variant covers. There was one that was bagged. There was a newsstand that was bagged. It was black and white. It was silver, blah, blah, blah. The rarest of all of them is the Platinum Edition, which was sent to retailers as a thank you for ordering so bloody many of these things. And right now, you can get them fairly cheap. I've been watching them. I've been waiting to buy one for years, and I've slowly watched it go out of my price range. And I'm talking, I went over 100, and I thought, okay, I'll buy it for 300. Now they're over 300. A graded one, they run upwards of about $1,250. There's a few signed by, there's one signed by Todd McFarlane. There's two actually signed ones that are kind of interesting. One, you know, Stan Lee signing it. I'd go after the McFarlane one. I don't even know if McFarlane would sign this book if people brought it up. There were stories back when he was doing convention appearances. If somebody brought up an Amazing or one of these Spider-Man ones to be signed, he wouldn't do it, but he would give them a couple copies of Spawn number one. So yeah, to get a signed one like that for $1,500 of steel, otherwise $1,200. As far as I know, the era of the unslabbed Platinum Spider-Man is gone. I think everybody who has them has slabbed them. There may be damaged ones out there. There's some of them, you know, it all came with a letter too. I don't know if the letter gets enclosed when you CGC it or not. So that to me is what I'm looking for. It's also a good one. A couple other books I'm going to mention in passing, just because these are ones that would be really good to pick up if you can find them. We talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, another book, Gobbledygook. Which
yep.
I remember having it, but I'm not going to talk about it. The Crow number one, Evil Ernie number one, Evil Ernie number three, which had Lady Death on the cover. Corey's favorite, Grendel number one. There's a ton of stuff that's very affordable in this area. Caliber Press presents number one. Those are all worth grabbing onto. Sandman 8 is in this era. Corey, tell them what Sandman 8's all about.
That is the first appearance of Death and the lowest selling issue of Sandman.
Yeah.
Really?
And I I think there were, is there a variant on that one?
Yes, there was one shipped to comic shops with an editorial in it from Karen Berger saying, please, for the love of God, buy this book because it's going to get canceled if you don't. It was a gift that they gave to every comic shop in the nation. Because the first Sandman did not sell well. And even issue 50, the gold cover, only sold around 50,000 copies. That book didn't make money until they started publishing trade paperbacks. And it never sold well issue to issue.
I actually find that funny. I actually have four for this era, so I'm just going to say this one to get it out of the way. So I'll just have my three. But I actually had Sandman number one on mine. And I actually have Sandman 50 signed.
Nice.
Yeah.
I can't get Atomic Avenue up and running. They might be down for maintenance. I just wanted to see what price better. When you talk, Corey, I'll do a Google search, see if I can find the variants. The last one I want to talk about, because I threw out a lot of them. Right now, you're in the age where when I had the comic store back in the 90s, the Bronze Age was. The books haven't exploded yet. Yeah, the CGC ones are, but if you're very careful and you look around, you could probably find it. All those books we talked about in the Bronze Age, I could have got for the prices you can get your Copper Age books at. So this, if you're really into investing, this is the key area you want to look. Because just like we talked about earlier, the Batman 313, that blew up very quickly. You might be able to pick up things like that and go as well. But for me, the one you would definitely invest in if you're prone to do it, New Mutants 98, first Deadpool. 9.8, running about $2,500. There's some signed ones that go higher, and they go all over the place. There's a 9.8 for $2,000, 9.4 for $1,800. So here's a 9.8 guy starting his bid at $1,500. That's a steal.
It's a bargain.
At half the price. So you're also in the age of Cry for Dawn. There's tons of stuff. Copper Age is great. I'm really excited to hear what books you picked, Corey.
Well, first let's go to Dan, because Dan's first one was Sandman number one. This is what I will kind of push back on, like I did with Joe, where I think the people who buy Sandman are buying it as books. And it's kind of become an evergreen book. It's a lot like Watchmen number one. Yeah, it's worth something, but most people are just going to buy the book. There aren't a lot of people who are going to buy the comic. But as like Joe said with Cerebus, that doesn't mean I'm right. When it comes to investing, you never quite know where things are going to go or we'd all be rich.
I am
a like Sandman 8, 9.8 is running about $1,180 high. And I haven't found the one you mentioned, Corey, the retailer one. There's a lot of them here, so I'm going to keep scanning. But what were you saying, Dan?
Well, I have the counterpoint to what Corey was just saying. However, if somebody's buying it to collect it, isn't that different? Because nobody is going to go and buy the boarded or the sealed ones and read it. So, I mean, if I'm gonna buy something to read Sandman, I would buy the bound books. If I was buying it for a collection, wouldn't I want the separate one?
My thing is that if you're going to be buying it now, most people would buy the books to read it. The reason back issues become worth a lot is because people want the individual issue. And maybe when the Sandman TV show or movie or the whatever they've been working on since 1989 is out,
well, that may change.
But I think nobody knows. Let's say you're a 25-year-old, you want to read Sandman. You're not going to buy 75 individual issues. You're just going to buy the 12 books.
Oh, yeah. No.
Other thing, too, is you're changing the parameter of the argument. Because if you're going to invest in this, reading has nothing to do with it.
Where your collection is going to go.
Not at these prices. nobody reading a comic is going to drop $1,180 on a Sandman number 8A. They might drop it if they suddenly hear, oh my gosh, Netflix is doing a death series. Because we've seen that already on Independence. We haven't gotten into the in the modern age yet. Because when the Independence, boy, if they have a inkling anything's going up in price because of a TV show, it drives people nuts. And that's why at these prices, you know, I'm thinking they're steal, especially because we know there's a Sandman series coming out. The question is, Death was optioned for her own series. Does that supersede? Will she show up in Netflix Sandman? And will the investors care? Or do they look at it like, oh, $1,200, the best it's ever going to go? I don't think so. I think it'll go up, especially because there are only 3 9.8 versions on eBay. And again, without CGCs, I have no idea how many are priced. There are none that I can see of that B version you talked about, Corey. So that may be the one to hunt down and find.
And the other reason I think this way is what I talked about with Sandman's original sales. The people who bought Sandman weren't your comic book collectors. The guy who's going to be, oh, I got to have Wolverine's first appearance, isn't the same guy who's going to want that Sandman first appearance. I think they're different markets. That doesn't mean I'm right. Remember, we're talking about investment, and the closer you get to the modern age, the more there are these differences, such as Grendel number one. Oh, it's a very expensive book. But here's the thing. It was always expensive, and it's not like there are a lot of new Grendel readers. So I think that's one of those books that went up because it was really rare and then plateaued and was just kind of stayed there, not going up in value very much. Whereas Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles started, you know, really hot, but the people who want it are not people who normally buy comics. So you've got this influx of people who aren't your regular comic person. And that demand's going to drive it up. Kind of like what happened with the Golden Age, where Golden Age if you go and you look at your 1970 Overstreet, and before you say, nobody's got a 1970 Overstreet, you could go to the comic shop right now and buy one because they reprinted it for the 50th anniversary. And you'll see those Golden Age books maybe selling $100, $200, $300. And then through the 70s and 80s, every newspaper in the world had at least one article about, bang, zow, old comics are worth money. And when they got to a certain point, you had the investor class come in. Your comic book collector's not buying an Action Comics number one. It's the, you know, the oil barons. It's the, you know, the millionaires. They come in and go, oh, these things are worth money. We're going to be jumping on those. I remember when I could go to a comic shop and see a Fantastic Four number one for $150 and go, that's just crazy. Now it's selling for over $100,000 because at some point people outside saw it as an investment.
So what you're saying is instead of dropping $1,000 on Kimiko Primer 2, for find one that's less than that
and invest in it. Well, so that's a good corollary to go with. Nobody but a Grendel collector is going to be buying Grendel Primer number, Kimiko Primer number two. There's not going to be a Grendel movie or a Grendel TV show or a Grendel cartoon. However, Blue Devil. DC announces a Blue Devil, which came out the same year. Well, those books, no one's got very many of them, and the few they have been sitting in quarter bins for years. So all of a sudden, it's going to be like Lucius Fox's son. Oh, Blue Devil's the next big movie. Zoom. Huge demand from the people, not just from comics, but from movies looking for it. Very low supply because they're all beat to hell, and there aren't very many of them. That's a book that's going to go through the roof.
9.9 Blue Devil 1 for $400.
Yeah.
Go get it. You heard it here first.
Well, actually,
his first appearance is Fury of Firestorm number 24. This is where it gets trickier not necessarily the first issue of their comic, may not be their first appearance. So you might have to do some homework, just like with Grendel. You know, Grendel number one isn't his first appearance. It was somewhere else.
Yeah, Kimiko Primer number two.
And it gets really weird.
There was a Kimiko Primer number two. Then there was Grendel number one, which was the black and white. And then Grendel number one in 1986, completely different character in color, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
So which Grendel number one?
And then you start running into things like I did when I found out that 50-cent copy of an amazing interviews I picked up was worth $300 because it had the first published appearance of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the form of a house ad.
Yeah.
I'm sure the guy who's selling it for 50 cents had no idea.
So, Dan, what other books do you have?
Okay, well, this is the one I was telling you about earlier that all of mine are from 1991. And that's actually the first, other than the Transformers comics and stuff, it was when I picked up my first, like, mainstream comic that wasn't connected to some sort of IP. So I have Silver Surfer Volume 3, Number 50, which was basically the prelude to the Infinity Gauntlet.
Shiny cover.
Very shiny cover.
Very shiny.
One of the first shiny covers.
Yeah, it was my first non-IP comic. I bought it at a gas station, so it means a lot to me. If it's actually going to go up in price, I don't care. Invest in it, damn it.
here's what I did with my first comic like that. I actually had it slabbed just because if I'm going to reread it, I'll read it in the graphic novel form, and I don't want it to deteriorate anymore. So,
sure.
And I came in. What did I come at? 5.4. So, my Star Wars number two that I got off the newsstand at my grandpa's cabin up in Ely, 2.0. That's what I read the snot out of that thing.
By the way, Silver Surfer number 50, going for $20.
Ooh.
And here's the thing that I don't get.
Mm-hmm.
The second and third printings, there were much fewer of those. They are harder to find. They're not worth as much. But there are other books where your second printing is worth more, such as Captain Marvel, the first appearance of Kamala Khan.
Mm-hmm.
The second printing is worth so much more than the first because the second printing had Kamala Khan, Ms. Marvel on the cover.
Oh, okay.
So when you get into more modern books, sometimes the second and third printing is worth more than the first printing. So you're going to want to check that out as well.
Here's a couple other things. That Silver Surfer number 50 we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
A few of them were manufactured without silver foil on the color cover.
Yeah, kind
of
enough. Those were the newsstand copies.
Yeah, those are actually, no, these are some actual they got that little Captain America instead of the UPC code on the bottom.
Okay.
That's just like that Venom number one that Butch bought for me. Well, it was
Black Venom.
Every 50th, 60th issue would spit out a reverse black cover. So instead of your nice red on black ink or black on red ink, red foil, it just came out all black. Well, believe me, that's a really rare book because it was a printing error. So I put it aside, figuring I'd send it back. Butch is like, I'll buy it, cover price. Best deal he ever got.
I was super tempted to add that one because not only is that, you know, a rare variant printing, but it's also the first of Venom's solo series.
Okay.
It's Venom Lethal Protector number one. I did not choose it, however. Dan, let's see, that's three. You said you had four.
I had four. The next one, of course, also goes with I love this comic, so go out and invest it. And when I die and I'm super famous, probably because of how I die, not because of anything I do before that.
Well, it'll be because you bring back both Bad Advice and Weekly and Worldwide News, and they go on to huge acclaim, and we win Oscars for them.
That's true. Yes, when that happens, which is yes. as soon as I get rid of the three extra people in my house, so I have a place to draw. is the Infinity Gauntlet number one? You know, it's still my all-time favorite comic, and I don't care what it's worth. However, my fourth one actually is the Bone number one.
That is a really good investment.
Yeah.
No one cared about it when it first came out.
No, but it skyrocketed after that. I mean,
well, what it was, nobody cared about it. I remember Joe got in a couple copies, and I kind of looked at it and went, I don't know what this is. You know, is this a kid's book? Is it a fantasy book? And I looked at it, and I put it back on the shelf because I, you know. And then Wizard started pushing the hell out of it. And that was at a point where Wizard could make anything sell. I mean, people actually bought Valiant books.
Yeah.
Drawn by Don Perlin. Don Perlin had hot books because Wizard said, oh, this stuff's great. The first printing of the first issue, $850 in Overstreet. And I imagine they slapped on the
eBay
for more.
9.8, $18,000.
Yeah.
9.6, $10,000. 9.4, $7,500. And falling. And then there's even things like ninth prints going for $1,500. But yeah, that is a super issue to good luck to find those first printings.
And again, one of those where if they ever do a media, because one of the reasons the book went on hiatus with issue, wasn't it like issue 40 or something, was because he was working with Nickelodeon to make a series, and he spent 2 or 3 years on it, and it fell apart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And imagine, he got paid better to do a series that never got on the air than doing the comic. And the comic was doing very well. I only have one that hasn't been mentioned yet, and that is Batman Adventures number 12. Joe, what is Batman Adventures number 12, and why is it a hot book?
Was that the Harley Quinn appearance?
Yes, that is the first Harley Quinn appearance in comics, and the reason it is super hot, no one was buying Batman Adventures. It was a kid's book. It was based on the cartoon. Joe, if Joe got 10 copies in the shop, I would be shocked.
Yeah. I might have gotten, we didn't get many. And if I did, it would probably have been put down with the kids' books anyways.
Yeah.
Had I saved one, the high 9.8 going for $12,500, 9.4 at a 10 grand. Here's a 9.8 for $7,500. So yeah, look around. That's a newsstand version. So yeah. It has the instead of the blacked out DC thing. So yeah, there's quite a few of them there. Crazy, crazy money.
There's also Mad Love, which was the first up in universe appearance. Yeah. And I wonder how much that's going for, because that was that they made that a big deal, so people knew about that one. The Batman Adventures was kind of here's this month's Batman Adventures. They go to a costume party, and Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy and somebody else show up.
Mild High Comics has their deluxe near mint at $840. There's a signed 9.6 signed by Bruce Timm. $680, and then the paper version? No, that's a deluxe version too. The first paper version, 9.8 for $550. So yeah, there you go. There's the first appearance. The Batman Adventures Mad Love.
Yep, that's what it was. It was Mad Love.
Okay.
than the first actual mainstream DC was just called Harley Quinn. It was a Alex Ross cover.
Yep, that's right. Yep. I got them mixed up. It was a special issue, and it was written and drawn by Bruce Timm. But it was the Batman Adventures. It was kind of their annual for that year.
Yeah.
So I have Batman Adventures number 12. And now we get to the modern age, which is 2000 to present. And I'm thinking we may all have the same. We may all have one in common, but they may all the rest be different.
All right.
Joe, what do you got?
Now, my advice in modern age comics, buy everything. No, I'm just kidding. I don't even buy everything. If you would just have to pick blindly off the shelf, I would say go for every Image number one. You never know what's going to get hot, a.k.a. Walking Dead number one. Or even Ice Cream Man number one, which right now is going for like $300. Especially if you end up buying them cheap online, just buy them, set them aside, just like Church did with his stuff. First appearances, if you know it's a first appearance, that's why I recommend it. If you had the funds, buy the Future State set aside. A lot of good ones here. I want to recommend Invincible number one, just because of the TV show coming up. But the one I'm going to go with, oh, holy cow. Chew number one is $225.
Yes.
Wow. Just like I said, one of every Image. Spawn number one, black and white edition. How in hell's bells I ever got one of these? I know how. I bought it for a quarter from Gruber. What it was, what it was is with, I'm trying to find it on eBay. I believe it was Spawn number 56. You got a cover, black and white cover of Spawn number one. It was all in black and white. Just kind of as a nice gift. No big thing. For a while, there were absolutely none on eBay. And when I found mine and I looked it up, I was like, there's no way this can be worth $300. But every time I turn around, people were saying, was it $300 or $200? I forget what it, no, it was $300 because when I put it up, I got two emails and it sold. The first email was, is this really a Spawn black and white edition? I've never seen it for sale before. Second, guy said, you know, your feedback's so good, I'm just going to buy it. Boom, and it was gone. And that, I was happy with that. I mean, but right now, let's see, here's an unslabbed one for $950, 9.8 for $4,700. Another 9.8 for $3,500 or best offer. There's your chance. Maybe you can get them down. So to me, that is the rarest Spawn edition. I searched high and low thinking, because every so often you'll have you'll luck out and a book will go up in price and you realize you're probably the first person who realizes that. Everybody realizes it now. But if you don't, well, I put this under the category of one who got away on the mostly diecast website Toy Peddler. Somebody went on there selling comics in 4-issue lots. They put a Hulk 181, 180, 181, 181, 182, 183 for $10. And before I could blink, it sold. And part of me wanted to send him a note and say, dude, do you realize you just sold a $2,000 comic for $10? And I didn't, because I don't know.
That would be mean.
Well, yeah, but I also feel sorry for idiots who don't know what they're doing on a site they didn't know what they were doing it. This is what I talked about. I don't have them gathered in one. Maybe I'll make another solo Joe just how to eBay stuff. Look this shit up. I had no idea what this Spawn black and white was going for until I looked it up. And I'm glad I did, and I maximized what I could out of it. I probably could have done more if I slabbed it, but I don't slab my books. So that's my advice on modern age. That's the one to look for. How about you guys?
Well, so the one that you think is on all of our thing, is it The Walking Dead?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Surprisingly enough, yes, I do have that on here. It's the only one of all of my books I haven't read.
Oh, wow.
I would slab that sucker, and that's your investment for when Grandpa needs a new pair of dentures.
Yep.
Yeah, I knew that one, that zombies are never going away. As much as I want them to, they are not going away. So I know that one would be a good investment. My other two are, I've got Blackest Night number 0, the special edition that was sent, you know, that was released, and was very hard to find right away. I may be wrong that that may not go up, but one of the, you know, one that I put in there. And then the other one is Year of the Villain, Hell Arisen number 3, which is the first appearance of, full appearance of Punchline.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's the book that's going to hold its value, because DC has huge plans for that character.
Yeah. And when you said, see, here's also the other thing, is that when you first told us about this, you said hold value, not necessarily increase in value, because I do have one more of Modern Age. But I don't, I am guaranteed that it will hold its value. And that is the first edition of Worldwide News, because it will it will always be worth its weight in paper.
And it's always in print.
Is true, yeah. Because when I asked Dan, I wanted to buy some copies and send them to some well-deserving eBay people. He has no idea where his stock is.
I can't find my stock.
The best part about it, if you have a copy, that sucker is so rare. Because Grandpa's already forgotten where he hid the other copies.
But if you email Dan at lordshadowflame@gmail.com, he will get more printed.
Yes, I will.
Never be as valuable as the ones he lost.
Yes.
And upcoming printings will probably have an ISBN number so we can sell it on Amazon.
And so the rare ones will be without.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have mine autographed, so when I decide to go nut and cut Dan's hands off and sew Corey's lips together so they can, I'd have to cut his hands off too. No, you can still write being deaf and blind. Sorry, yeah. Dan, it's coming your way. Wolfie's going to have to do the hard part. All right, Corey, what do you got? Preacher number 1, Why the Last Man 1, Walking Dead 3, Strangers in Paradise 1. You know what's killing me is I had all these damn books and now I'm looking at the value. I just looked up Preacher 1, 9.8, $800.
Here's a book.
This is what makes JoJo old.
Here's a book that Overstreet is way behind on, because Overstreet says it's worth, let me pull up what Overstreet says, because Overstreet is missing the boat on this one so far. Let's see, there's Ultimate, and Ultimate Fallout number 4, they say is worth $90. Joe, what is Ultimate Fallout number 4?
It's Edge of Spider-Verse number 2.
Nope.
No, that ain't right. This guy's asking $50,000 for it.
It is the first appearance of Miles Morales.
$20,000. I see why he said Edge of Spider-Verse. He's just keyword spamming.
Yeah.
9.8, 20,000. 9.2, 10,000. Here's a 9.8 bidding. This is an active auction as we talk. Over with by the time the podcast posts. $10,000.
So,
$8,000. Here's a 9.2.
Yeah, these are all 9.8, 9.9s. So if you find an unslabbed version, less than a grand, buy it and slab it. Miles Morales not only is a hot character, even though the sales on Ultimate Spider-Man are kind of iffy, they've made one movie that everybody loves.
Awesome.
The second one is coming out, and this is a movie that kids liked. So as these kids grow up, they're going to want the first appearance of Miles Morales. The other thing was the Ultimate Fallout did not sell all that well, so there aren't a whole lot of them out there. And the last book that I have, I'm going to take a look here. I'm going to give you prices on eBay And I want you to guess what it is, Joe. Okay, so.
When he hums like that, I think I'm in a Monty Python skit.
Let's see. A 9.8 variant. This is actually the variant cover is going for $8,000. Just a regular first issue. I have to go down a bit. Is there we go. Just kind of a, oh, there's the Art Adams cover is going for $1,860, slabbed at
9.8.
There's
ooh.
A second print.
I have a guess. For,
okay, and it is
Transformers: The Revenge of the Fallen movie adaptation.
No, I'm sorry. Oh. It's Transformers versus My Little Pony. Oh, wait. No.
Damn it,
it's
of course.
It's Marvel number one.
But of course, it was in all the glossies.
Is Marvel number one, although that's not her first appearance, but her first appearance is going for more than her first appearance. Her first appearance was in Marvel Point One number one, first full appearance of Kamala Khan. But Ms. Marvel number one, I think, is a book that no matter how it's priced, it's going to go up. She's got a TV series that's going to be starting on Disney Plus. The books sell like it is Marvel's second best selling book through Scholastic Books. Number one, of course, is Spider-Man, but number two is Ms. Marvel. So whenever anybody says, why do they keep publishing Ms. Marvel? Because they're making bajillions of dollars from little girls.
Well, and I'll be honest, I was the new Avengers game that had just come out. The main character was going to be Ms. Marvel. And I was worried because I didn't know much about the character or anything like that, but I still wanted to play it. I absolutely love the character now.
It's a great character. It's a fun book. And I think there's no place for that price to go up, because another thing is, just like other books that I've recommended, it didn't sell real well when it came out. The fifth issue sold better than the first issue. Anytime your first issue doesn't sell real well and the book becomes a success, that's where you get your Walking Deads. I think Walking Dead number one, they said, sold less than 10,000 copies. So there's a limited number. I do remember back in the 80s and 90s, and Joe could back me up on this, second issues became worth more than first issues for a lot of Marvel books because every comic shop would order tons of the first issue and then cut their orders in half for the second issue. And if a book became hot, it'd be, oh, I can't find the second issue anywhere.
Oh.
So those are my books, and that is our investment. And we have gone for 2 hours and 11 minutes because it's our 500th issue.
Yeah.
There aren't a whole lot of comics that made it to 500 issues. There's Thor. And Superman, and Action, and Detective, and Batman. And you could say Spider-Man, but no, it started over as a number one and then rebooted. And you know who's not going to reboot?
You guys?
You, us?
These guys, our sponsors! Believe it or not, kids, this here podcast has sponsors. And that sponsor, since day one, is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best, bar none, web host in the whole known universe. And if you need a website, head on over to DreamHost.com, put in code CRAZY, that's K-R-A-Y-Z, and get $20 off your first year. Now, if you would like to advertise here on any of the Solitaire Rose Network podcasts, you can. Just email me at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, subject advertising. Also, head on over to eBay and look for user Crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z, that's Joe Crazy Writer, who's always telling us about the eBay in every episode of Crazy Comics and Stories. If you would like to contact us, you can do so. You can give us a call at 952-856-0519. Leave a message and we'll play it on the show. Or you can send us an email at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. Thanks. You'd think after 500 episodes, you'd be able to get that.
Never last.
And you think 500 is a lot. I actually counted up, and I have done close to 800 podcasts. Like all of these. The Solitaire Rose Radio Network is currently on a pause, basically because COVID-19 has made it so that I have to work a lot of extra hours at both jobs. But you can still go and listen to my other podcasts. Now, you're probably listening to Crazy Comics and Stories, which is the main podcast. But on this same feed, KRAYZCOMIX, is Solitaire Rose Radio, the solo radio podcast that I do. I've done interviews. I've done short stories. I've done all sorts of things. And you can get to it right here on this same feed. I also do a podcast called Novelcast, where I take the novels I've written and turn them into free audiobooks. That's over at novels.solitairerose.com. Dangerous Dan Moore and I, and of course Wolfie B. Bad, give you bad advice over at badadvice.solitairerose.com. You send in your questions, and we give you the aforementioned bad advice. And then myself and Adam Vermillion from For the Love of Comics do the Fantastic Forecast at fantasticforecast.solitairerose.com, where we go through the issues of the Fantastic Four, four issues at a time, to give the plot and commentary on each issue. That's not all. Yes, I'm crazy. I still, over at pwinsiderelite.com, every week on Wednesday, do a recap of the latest episode of AEW Dynamite. I write up what happened, and then myself and Anthony Pyrus will do an audio. Now, you can only listen to the audio if you're a member at pwinsiderelite.com, and if you're a wrestling fan, you should be, where we then break down the episode, talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, give it a grade, and let you know if you should have watched that episode. Those are the other podcasts here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network. Thanks. And
after 800 podcasts, he has become the master of Segways.
Why? Yes,
his
I
own
have.
Domain.
Not only that, I have outlasted the company of Segways.
That too.
And the, you know the only reason we do this show, right? So we can ask Joe what's going on the eBays.
Funny you should ask. Because, I mean, for 500 episodes, I believe I've been pimping the eBays, because I'm the other side of what this show's all about. I constantly am scrounging through stuff. And what I do is, as I rip through it, I'll look it up. And, you know, occasionally I run into things like, well, I was just looking on the eBays like that. Well, hang on. Let me fire up the old Kraton 3000.4. Because, you know, I'm trying to see the things that you can look for that invest on my eBays. What I do, of course, is I go and I go through the dreck of Comic Society and look for the bottom feeder stuff. I mean, you get me at a 50-cent dollar bin, oh, I have fun. But you never know what I'll dig up. Like when I dug up a Comics Interview number 150 that has – it's rare. It's expensive because it has, first of all, it was like a double or triple size issue, way more expensive, but it also has Girls of Adam Hughes. It's a rare issue. It has his interviews, things like that in there. We talk about when we were digging at one of the, I think it was Comic College, wasn't it? And I pulled out this series called Cow and just laughed at it by Monster Pants. Only three issues. They had a complete set. I forget what I bought it for. One of those issues retails at $100. The other twos are just a couple bucks. Don't know why. Slapped them together. They're up on the eBays. You can go take a look or make a best offer. Sometimes I just luck out. We talked a while back on the episode with my sketchbook when I ran into Skip Williamson down at the underground bin. That was the Comic-Con 92, during the infamous Image tent. And I had his, I found a copy of his one shot from 1995.
I should say I bought a copy of his one shot years later. That's an expensive one too, because again, nobody was buying it. No one was paying attention. Not everything I get are things that I bought. I was talking a while back. I'm trying to find it here. Remember that there's a Malibu Sun number 13. A Malibu Sun, I believe this was a freebie magazine. I think you just pick it up. Well, it's the first actual appearance of Spawn, and it's going crazy. I think mine went around $150, and that was a giveaway. I mentioned earlier the Amazing Fantasy that I had. Sometimes an ash can will be expensive. Like I found a purple cover Gen 13 ash can. I actually lowered it because it's been sitting in my bins for a while. But, you know, it's still about $50 if you want to take a peek at it. Even though the last thing I picked up, a Man of Steel promotional giveaway graphic novel. That was during John Byrne when they basically took the six-issue series, pressed a cover around it, and made it a graphic novel giveaway and gave it out to retailers, much in the way the Spawn Platinum was. And this one's a little beat up, and I believe it's still the cheapest copy on eBay at $39.99 if you're interested. But what I always tell you good listeners, you see something you're interested in on my eBays, go to that in the little corner there when you bid on something where it says contact seller. And what it does, it will send me a note. First of all, tell me you listen to the show. You don't even have to enjoy it. We're just happy to listen. And tell me you're interested in it. If you want to make an offer, feel free, because if you contact me the way I explained, I can resend an offer back to you. And, you know, I like to throw in lots of freebies. I was going to throw in free copies of Worldwide News, but apparently Dan is being a hoarder here, him and this code thing he wants to put on his books. Oh, sure, Grandpa, I forgot him. He's probably sitting on him every night. He dives into them the way Uncle Scrooge dives into his bin. I'm surprised we haven't come up with Uncle Scrooge number one. There's a first appearance to look for. Not on my eBay store, but I got all sorts of stuff. Pre-podcast, I just spent all afternoon getting stuff up. Tomorrow, I've got a whole short box of stuff I'm going to put up. And you never know what the heck I'm going to find. My goal is to always be the cheapest on eBay. Not the most expensive, because I want to sell this stuff. K-R-A-Y-Z, come get some.
And now, our special guest, Dan.
Yeah.
Since there are no conventions.
Armpit Solo!
What are you doing with your free time? We only hear from you about conventions.
Yes,
listen,
yes.
Burping babies.
Bubba? What'd you say?
He said burping babies.
No, running from. What was your question?
what do you do now that there are no conventions? How are you spending your time?
Why is one bicep bigger than the other?
Well, you'd have to ask Jules.
Oh, my.
Actually, the thing is that we were been slowly but surely trying to get the house together. Unfortunately, my stepdaughter's son-in-law, my stepdaughter's fiance, unfortunately lost his job. So he is, instead of them moving out, they moved in. So now I have three more people in the house than I expected, and we're trying to move all that around. So really, I've been just trying to avoid everybody.
You're going to be the crazy old man who lives in the attic, and they won't tell you when they move, so that when new people move in the house, it'll be, there are noises in the attic. There are noises
jumping around
in the
up
attic.
There.
There's noises in our attic, and our Mountain Dew keeps disappearing.
Well, kids, we're now to my favorite part of the show. No, 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 not where I read all the ads in the Overstreet Price Guide and ignore the prices. Ooh, Dave Adams has a website. And so does Heritage Auctions. And so does Torpedo Comics. No, no, no. It's Freaking and Geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
Corey, do you save your old previews?
No.
You probably should. Previews, Volume 2, Number 3, the first solicitation of Spawn is going for a cool $1,800.
I wouldn't have had that because we were buying all we had
the advanced cities. I haven't found the advanced. I haven't found the advanced comics version yet.
Yeah.
So never throw anything away. I'm not actually freaking out much because a little behind the scenes, folks. That podcast that you enjoyed last Monday, we recorded yesterday. So I haven't had time to really freak. Other than the fact, well, you know, we're in bone chilling cold. We're going to like 22 below with a wind chill of about like 5,000 below zero. And I can't really freak too much about that because I've seen the weather the rest of the country has. The same high that's keeping us with bright, sunny, but bitter-ass cold, you know, is keeping that snow and the storms and all that crap away from us. So I'm freaking that you guys may be hurting. I hope you're safe. Drive safe. Don't be stupid.
I told you not to be stupid, you moron.
Right here, the 500th episode. But do you listen? That's what I'm freaking on. Well, that I've been doing this for over 10 years. I'm getting old. Dan, what you freaking on?
Well, I kind of freaked about it before, I guess, we started freaking and geeking. having the more people in the house. Well, unfortunately, we also have two more cats that are not getting along with the cats that are already in the house, to the point where two of them got into a fight and one had a huge gash in its tail. So $600 later...
$600 later, you've built the octagon.
Yeah.
No, it's the Thunderdome. Two cats enter, one cat leaves. Two cats enter, one cat leaves. I really
I think I'm good with that. Oh, I would need, unfortunately, I would need a grumpy cat to be the midget guy.
Oh, okay.
Be the ref.
Yeah, the ref, yeah.
Master and Blaster. You know, you got a little tiny cat that rides on top of a great big cat.
Yeah. But that and not, I haven't been able to really be creative for a while now just because of time. And you'd think that because we were in the middle of an epidemic, I would have more time. But with everything going on, I don't have time. I don't have space. I don't have it. Yeah. And I'm starting to get really frustrated about that. So, yeah, that's what I'm freaking on. How about you, Corey? What are you freaking on?
Comic-wise, the new DC solicitations came out, and their hardcover and trade paperback selection is pathetic. They are continuing some of the Future State stuff, which is confusing.
I was going to say, wait a minute, wasn't that supposed to end?
Yeah, but some of it is from out of Future State spins. No, 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 no. No, just no. No. I've read some of the Future State stuff, and DC, quit making Wally West kill people.
They're having him kill people again?
The entire plot of Future State is Wally West's body has been taken over by an evil demon, and he's killing everybody. I'm so tired of all the hate for Wally West. What did Mark Waid do that was so bad that you have to destroy Wally West? He was a fun character when he was the Flash. Okay, Barry Allen came back. Cool. That doesn't mean you have to turn Wally West into the new Carnage. Ugh. And then Joe talked about how cold it was. I think it was Friday. I woke up and I took a shower. And, okay, I'll start some laundry. And the next thing I know, I'm hearing gurgling. And I go into the bathroom, and water is coming up from the toilet and the tub. So I have to call a plumber, and they let me know that the sewer pipe had frozen.
That's not good.
I didn't even know that was possible. So they go in and they, you know, take care of that, and they do a few things to make sure it doesn't freeze again. And I spend my Saturday I worked at the group home and was just supposed to do an overnight. But then they say, can you stay till 2? We'll give you a bonus. Okay. So I got to come home and spent my Saturday before I went back to work for the overnight super cleaning the bathroom because, yes, the toilet overflowed. So I had to mop that all up. And once they got the sewer pipes running again, and then, you know, basically Friday, I just mopped it up and went to work. Saturday, I got home. Okay, now I'm going to use Pine Sol on everything. So the house smells like a pine forest threw up on it.
Right.
But water is flowing down the sinks now. So now I get to make more dirty water.
Was it just your shits that cold? I don't understand.
I don't either. They just said that the sewers froze. And it wasn't just mine. It, you know, where the water left the house and goes out to the main sewer. From where the water leaves the house to the main sewer, there's kind of a dip. And water had kind of pooled in that dip.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I'm sleeping at the group home, I'm taking my shower at night, sometimes there, because it's, you know, it's just easier.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really running a lot of water, so it froze.
Oh. Okay, then.
So there was that. So that kind of kept me busy.
Yeah, I can understand.
That was weird.
And last thing I'm freaking on, Joe left the call, got bored with my story about having to clean the bathroom.
I already heard about your poo-tiscades.
Poo-capades.
Now that you've been here.
Ice poo-capades.
Ice poopsicles. So all that weird food you eat. You gotta eat some meat and potatoes, not this pie and broccoli.
Pie and broccoli. Dan dips his broccoli in caramel. So, Joe, what are you thinking on?
I actually read some comics today.
What?
No, a couple of them are things we've talked in the past. I read one called Spider-Man Lifeline, which was a series by Nicaea Steve the Rude Dude way back in 2001.
Fabian Nicaea.
Yeah. And I have a question for you, Corey.
Yes.
What's interesting about this is they do a wonderful job of bringing you up to date, especially if you've never read anything. But they make a comment where Peter's pining over the fact that both Gwen Stacy had passed away and that his Mary Jane died in an air accident.
Yes, it was during the John Byrne, Howard Mackey run where the way they got rid of her was she was on a plane that blew up. Well, we found out later that no, a stalker had kidnapped her before she got on the plane.
Okay, that was the question I had. I couldn't remember how she came back. The story is awesome. It mixes into the Marvel Universe well. It does enough feedback, or I should say flashbacks, so you know what's going on, why things work. I mean, this is the type of Spider-Man stories they should be running in the regular book. Not that I'm displeased with what's in the regular book, but this was just a nice, fun little thing. 3 issues, back in the era where Marvel was doing 3-issue miniseries. And, of course, looking anytime you can see Steve Rude's art was a blast. Another 3-issue series.
Can I add something to that?
Absolutely.
If you pick up Spider-Man Lifeline as a trade paperback, it also has the I forget the name of the tablet, but that tablet that's such a part of that story, it has the original tablet story in there as well from Stan Lee and John Romita.
Cool.
Because it's a tablet that this tablet has special powers that can, you know, de-age you.
And they actually refer to the Hyberian Age, ancient Atlantis. It's a fun story. In an intriguing story from Titan Comics comes a 3-issue miniseries called Ordinary. This one was published in 2014. I don't know if it's in book form. Good art. Okay story. There's a few times where the scene changes and I have to go back and kind of reread, like, what happened here. Essentially, let's see if I can find the protagonist's name. Michael. He's just a plumber. Something happens where everybody in the world except him gets superpowers. And so he just kind of blunders through this three-issue series being ordinary. It was okay. I mean, we always talk about buy, borrow, or ignore. This one definitely is a borrow if you can. I have no idea if it's got a value on it, but I will put it on the eBays for anybody who's interested. Because both the Spider-Man one, I'm still kind of on the fence whether I'll keep it or not. I might do the trade, like you said, just because it gives a little extra with it. As far as other books, I'm just going to do a couple of quick reviews. Maestro number one, continuation of his story by Peter David. Awesome. Pick it up. A couple issues of Strange Academy, 7 and 8. Love it. Avengers, I'm reading the Phoenix thing, the 4041. Usually I'm really down with Jason Aaron stuff, but I don't know. Avengers isn't really doing it. I'll probably stick around for a while, maybe bail at 50. I'm feeling the same thing with Savage Avengers. It's just not – maybe it'll be more fun to read in a graphic novel, but I'm just not digging it. Star Trek Voyager 7 and Reckoning from IDW. I got the next two issues, number 2 and 3. Oof, not good. Not good. There's several times I'm having trouble figuring out who the aliens are. The story is subpar. Blech. I'm digging Wolverine 9 because Patch is back. And he's going back to, what's the name? Madripoor? Is that the name of the place?
Madripoor.
Yeah. And another one I picked up, Scout Comics Loot Number 1. It was $1.99. If you remember, what Scout does is they publish this comic, and then the graphic novel comes later. It's kind of fun. It's a young girl. She's getting a lot of trouble, given a second chance by a police officer. But basically, she calls herself a treasure hunter when, for a while, she was just basically a shoplifter. And eventually, she gets her nose into a real treasure, and now she's trying to gather up enough people that are interested to go look for it. As a standalone, it's kind of fun. $1.99, you can read it. As a graphic novel, maybe I'll borrow it. I don't know. So that was kind of fun. That's been pretty much it. I basically spent the cold day after I did some Eban. I just curled up, drink in one hand, read comic books. I got to read these things, because otherwise I got to figure out after that if I'm going to keep it on eBay or keep it or eBay it. So that's all I've been doing. How about you, Dan? What you geeking on?
I'm geeking on that they finally put a release date for the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. It's a update of the old Mass Effect games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be released May 14th. I'm already planning on taking a week off. Other than that, I'm still alive and still safe from the vid. So so that's what I'm geeking on personally. How about you, Corey?
First thing I am geeking on is the water flows out of my house. It's one of those things where you really don't. It's one of those things where you take it for granted until it doesn't happen, and then you just, well, how now I'm just a caveman.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, speaking of that, I'm also geeking on my oven is finally getting here.
Oh, that's like, always nice. That's all.
That's hot.
Yeah.
Speaking of remastered video games, it took quite a long time. One of my friends, Stephanie Kofel, who's been on the show, enters all these contests. I don't know how or where, but she's just entering contests all the time. She won the Halo Master Chief Edition for Xbox. She doesn't even have a TV, let alone video games, so she asked me if I wanted it, and I said, sure. And I went to download it, and oh my god, it's hundreds of gigs. So I pretty much would go, okay, download, and then I'd play other games or watch something on HBO Max, because my HBO Max is through my Xbox. For the longest time, Roku and HBO Max hated each other. So you couldn't watch HBO Max on your Roku, so I would watch it on my Xbox. But it finally finished downloading. So I started playing. They are in story chronological order, so it starts with Halo Reach, which I've actually never played before. You are not Master Chief, you're just some grunt, so you get killed all the time.
Of course.
But still, I don't get time to play a lot of video games, but yesterday I finally had some time, so it's, oh, I'm going to sit down, I'll play Halo. I love Halo. I just, it's, what's the story? I don't care. I just want to shoot the little aliens that go, ah, and run around. And then run and hide from the big things with the sword so that you can, you know, slap a grenade on them and run away. You get the blue grenades that are sticky grenades. That's really the only way to kill them when you're just a grunt, because, you know, they have the sword that kills you with one blow. It's not like, oh, he's hit me three times and now I'm my armor's gone. No, he hit you one time, you're dead.
Right.
So you slap a grenade on and run away and boom! Oh, thank God. For those of you who play video games, it's like The Witch and Left 4 Dead, where, oh, yeah, all they have to do is touch you and you're dead. And it's been a while since I've actually just been, you know, I'm just going to be stupid and play a video game for a while. I don't care about thinking. Nope. Football season is over, and the Super Bowl was terrible, but it also means that, you know, I like watching football, but now I have all this other time to watch all this other stuff. I subscribe to Night Flight, and if you had cable in the 80s, you remember Night Flight was what they played on USA Network. From like 10 at night to 6 in the morning, it's videos and weird music, and they would take the shows that eventually became Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that would become the Power Rangers, and they dubbed it with, you know, stupid stuff, because, you know, the shows look idiotic, so they just overdubbed it for comedy, and really obscure movies, a lot of concert movies and stuff. Well, they have their own cable channel that's $30 a year, so, well, not a cable channel, streaming channel. So I subscribe to that, and it's like, oh, cool, here's the Devo movie. Here's an interview with Ozzy Osbourne before we knew he was just, you know, before the reality shows, when we knew he was just kind of an average British guy. So, you know, his interviews, he still has that weird talking style, but he's in character. You know, well, you know, we our music is, you know, to try to make, you know, it let people know about the evil in the world. And now we all know that he's just, yeah, I do that stuff because that's what kids like. So it's fun that he's, you know, being interviewed in character.
Right.
Comic-wise, I haven't read anything since yesterday when we recorded our last episode. So I don't really have a whole bunch, but Falcon and the Winter Soldier starts, I think, on Friday, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think it does.
And let's see, HBO Max, all their movies are coming. All Warner Brothers movies are going to be on there. So I've been watching the Warner Brothers movies. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, and today was Half Price Candy Day, because it's a day after Valentine's Day. So got me a big old bag of candy for $20. So when I wake up from the diabetic coma. We have done 500 of these episodes.
Sounds like OCD to me.
And when I started, I thought maybe we would go for a couple of years. I thought that, you know, we'll do this for 2 or 3 years. We'll run out of stuff to talk about. And, you know, either Joe or I will lose interest and we'll move on. When we started, we were happy to get, you know, 50 downloads. I remember the first time we broke 50 downloads, I was like, oh, my God, somebody knows we exist. Well, I was asked today by Craig Yo. To do an elevator pitch for the show. And I said, well, on our main feed, we do two shows. One is a former retailer and eBayer of comics, Joe Ryder, and I, who worked in comics retail and have learned a lot about comics history, talking comics every week. And then I do a solo podcast where I interview people or I talk about comics history or I give DVD-type review, you know, DVD-type commentary on comics. And we're 11 years in, and I still have a list of ideas longer than at least this year to get done. And Craig Yeo offered me a few of the people who work on his books to interview. So, yeah, then I'm back to interviewing.
Oh, cool.
Which I just kind of fell into when it first started. And then when the pandemic hit, it's like, oh, I don't have time to do anything. But I'm going to be interviewing the writer of Invisible Men, the history of African Americans in comics. And I have to look that up. It's it's an original graphic novel from Yo Books about a teacher who starts doing comics for her class, teaching artfully with Megan Parker. Probably going to be interviewing her when that book comes out. And there are a couple other people who've said, hey, I've listened to your interviews. I got this thing coming up. I'd really like to, you know, sit down, do an interview. And I'm amazed anybody ever wants to talk to me at all. Not just comics. I mean anybody. I've said on my Facebook page and a few other times, I'm amazed anyone wants to talk to me a second time. Because especially now, I am at home all the time when I'm not at the group home. That's the whole of my social interaction. So I'm either sitting here answering phones or I'm talking to developmentally disabled adults.
Hey.
And it's funny when my son, you know, when my son and I talk, we're both like, oh, what are you up to? And you're like, nothing. You can't go anywhere. Can't do anything. We're not up to anything. He at least has a new wife. That's something interesting to talk about. I don't even have, you know, like new shoes.
That's because you got the old goody two shoes.
But I want to thank Joe, especially for putting up with this for 11 years.
Well, and I want to thank you for editing this crap for 11 years. I mean, you should. There's so much. I mean, we got, you know, coughs and grunts and sometimes, you know, I'll go out on a ramp.
Can I tell you the last thing I had to edit out of the show, Joe? Remember when you started talking about Elvis movies?
Oh, yeah.
You went for 20 minutes.
I know. Thank you very much.
You went for 20 minutes on a single Elvis movie.
It was awesome.
No, it went for 5 minutes on the show.
See, that's because Corey hates Elvis.
No, it's because
he's an Elvis hater.
Because the show was 2 hours and 30 minutes long, and it's like, we've got a 20-minute chunk of Elvis at the end of the show.
Chris isn't going to let me. Yeah, here we wanted to suck in the Elvis fans, but no, Corey hating Elvis. Don't know what he ever did to you. He died like you're going to die, all alone on the crapper, left alone for 12 hours till someone discovers him.
Okay, can I tell you what I have against Elvis?
Especially if he keeps freezing.
Only if it lasts 12 issues. 12 episodes.
When Elvis left Sun Records and went in the military and came back, his music sucked. He wasn't good anymore. Colonel Tom Parker took over, and everything sounded muddy and crappy. And he'd lost any of the rockabilly he had in his soul, and was just putting out. There was no difference between him and all the other Vegas performers. He wasn't good anymore when he came back.
I hope you edit that down. Folks, he just went on for like 35 minutes. Just edited it down to manageable.
Yeah, I had to cut myself out because I went on a rant.
I want to know. I actually
wrong. I'm just saying.
I want to no. I want to know how Elvis gave him pimples. What? How did Elvis give him pimples? I don't understand.
I don't know.
I'm not going into it.
All them fried banana sandwiches.
Deep fried peanut butter banana sandwiches.
Thank you very much.
Which were dipped in egg and then covered in powdered sugar.
Damn, I think I'm going for one of them. Maybe two.
I am not joking, Dan. Those were sandwiches that Elvis made.
I didn't think you were.
I had one when I went down to visit Graceland.
Without the Monte or the Cristo. Just
I actually reviewed it, but Corey cut it out of my 20-minute rant. Good recipe for your own deep fried peanut butter banana sandwich. What we need to do, Corey, you need to save all that stuff and just sometime do. That could be a fill in. Here is all the stuff you didn't listen to because I chose not to. You could at least get 5-6 fill ins out of it. And that's just from the last episode.
When I was editing the novel cast, which I actually have 3 episodes in the can. I'm not going to release it. From now on, I'm not releasing Novelcast until I've got the entire novel recorded because I got so tired of, I just don't have time to get one done and it needs to be out in 2 weeks. And I would be paralyzed with anxiety over it. I would just be paralyzed. So now I'm not going to release Novelcast until the whole novel is done and I can drop a new episode every 2 weeks. But when I read, if I make a mistake, I swear. After the first two, I saved all the swearing because I thought it might be fun to put out an episode, just an hour and a half of me going, God damn it, fuck, shit, son of a, God damn, oh, you idiot.
Well,
that should be on a YouTube feed.
When I was at work at one point, I was doing something where for a convention, I was doing an advertisement with Wolfie. And he kept screwing up, I should say. And he would sit there and he'd just like suddenly slump over or square or something like that. So I did a outtake thing that I sent to the convention people as something just for their own fun. It's just a bunch of Wolfie going, God damn fucking shit.
I want to thank everybody who's been on the show, part of our extended family. I like bringing on other people. I love it when Dan's on the show. I love it when Stephanie's on the show. I miss Adam Vermillion. I guess he's kind of phased out of podcasting because he's got a family that he needs to pay attention to. Dare he?
Slacker.
But also I want to thank the listeners because on PW Insider, they always say, without you, there's no us. Joe and I would probably do this show if nobody listened. But boy, it's a lot more fun knowing that we've got, you know, the first week we get 2,500 people who download it. I don't know if all of you listen, but I hope you do. And there are some episodes where I go back and after like 6 months, it's like, wow, 6,000 people downloaded that show. The hell did we talk about?
I love the fact that half of your fans are those Russian robots.
No, we don't have the Russians. We did have, we still have a German podcast aggregator, you know, that picks up podcasts. They picked us up early on, like around episode 30 or so. And for like up to episode 100, most of our downloads came from that. And I don't know if it's because it was, you know, some app that people use or what, but it would be like, you know, you had 250 downloads, 75 were from this podcast aggregator, like Podcatcher, except it was German. And all I could think is, what the hell did Germans want to know about American comic books for? Do they even understand us? But now I know people in Germany, and most people in Europe can speak more than one language, which means they're probably smarter than us. I barely speak English.
Who cares? We're not going to England.
We're not going anywhere. We're not allowed out of the country. But 500 episodes in, we're doing this till we're dead.
Yeah.
And if Dan could ever get some spare space in the house, I really want to go back to doing Bad Advice. I like that podcast. I actually had a dream about doing it, Dan.
Okay. Well, the first thing you got to do is get Wolfie out of the closet. I'm sure by now him and Reginald, if they haven't devoured each other.
I don't know, but there's weird colored smoke come out of there, and it smells funny.
Yeah. So,
hey, well, that's not legal in Minnesota yet. It is in Illinois. Finally, they legalized marijuana in Illinois, where I'm from. And then the pandemic hits, and I can't even go visit my parents.
No. Jules is 50% Native American. It's probably peyote.
Oh, well, you smoke that?
I don't.
See, I don't. Drugs like that, I don't know anything about. Although it's not as bad as the 60s. I was watching some exploitation movie on Night Flight, about the drug menace, and the announcer, and some of these kids are shooting LSD into their veins.
And missing.
Well, then they're doing it wrong. But as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
A thief broke into my house last night looking for money, so I got out of bed to look with him. Dan, how are your knees?
How are my knees?
Yeah, Wolfie, come on. Give me some tongue. I feel like dancing. Corey, oh, yeah. Get my music.
Hey, yo. Can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here.
Done, bitches!